This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola. Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in America Tie, of course, is the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it Bismarck? Wasn't that
Bismarck.
Bismarck. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bit. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Just Rosero, coming at you live on this Monday evening inside the PTB Man Cave. And the madness is here because of the fourth straight year. We are bringing to you our March Madness prediction show. And we have our all-star cast, as always, all back for the fourth time, amazingly enough. And Scott Criscola, it's also a big night because we are on the cusp, the precipice, knocking on the door of episode 300.
That is correct, JR. Always a pleasure, sir. Welcome, Place to Be Nation, to episode, yes, 299 of the Place to Be podcast. And it is indeed our fourth annual March Madness Spectacular.
And I say we waste no time, Scott. It's our only PTB episode this week. Wednesday night, we have episode 5 of the main event and of the Kevin Kelly show. And then episode 300 airs a week from tonight. So all the pleasantries out the door. We'll talk about placetobenation.com in a little bit. But why don't we get right to it? Because we got a lot of games, a lot of teams, players to break down. The brackets were released last night. Some interesting matchups, some good discussions. Not a lot of – it's interesting because a lot of the consternation this year doesn't have to really do with the snubs. It has more to do with the seeding this time around.
Right.
Not too many snubs, if any. So we'll have some interesting things to talk about. So let's get right to it. We'll bring in the elder statesman. A Place to Be podcast, the man who was with us as early as episode something or other, within the first five, I think. And, of course, that is the ghost of podcast past himself.
No, we're not. That is fine. You had to play that.
And of course, that is the shock wall himself, Mr. Matt Rotella. Matt, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I hate that song.
Oh, you said you loved it last time. You said it was the greatest thing you ever heard the last time I played it for you.
I think you changed it up, didn't you?
You're the worst. And by the way, how are you feeling? Just a few scant weeks away, maybe days, from becoming a father. That's scary enough for everyone else, but how are you feeling?
I'm doing great.
Yeah? Got the room Can't all wait. Set?
It's all set.
Names picked out?
Names are picked out. I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be, I guess.
Has your, I won't say it. All right, let's bring on our next special guest, and that is, of course, the man who I don't think you hear enough here on PlaceMediation.com, so we're going to have him on one more time for you all, and that is Andrew Reich. Andrew, how are you?
Let's break the shock wall down.
The diamond in the rough, as I like to call him. And, of course, Mr. Scott Criscola's brother in the house for the fourth straight year, and that is Chris Criscola. Chris, how you doing?
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure as always.
All right.
You are like the Undertaker of Place to Be podcast. You come up once in the spring and then take the rest of the year off.
And you look
and
old
he gets
and
fatter
dead.
Every year.
I was going to say, he looks old and dead.
yes, you don't look jaundiced at least. So
yes, that's true. Not like
so,
Dickie
Matt,
V.
What are the names of the potential names? Is it Bryce LaDante?
if Siddiqui was still on
Kadeem.
The team,
I like. I think Ed Rotella. That's my guess.
Sounds like a bus driver.
And if it's a girl,
if your
Cooley.
Father had any say, you'll probably
Cooley Rotella.
Cooley Rotella.
All right. Let's dive in, JR.
Yes. All right. So, as always, we're going to go bracket by bracket. We're going to fill things in, and we're entering our very own Place to Be podcast expert bracket as we go. This will be the picks that we do here. So, it may not necessarily be the picks of the individual members. This is going to be the consensus picks. So, I'm going to run through the matchups. The four gentlemen on the line with me will each cast their ballot. If a tiebreaker is needed, I will weigh that vote, and that is who will advance. As always, I should clarify this is not done for money or gambling purposes, just for fun. Here to make our predictions, and you can get involved if you'd like. We do have a PlaceToBeNation.com bracket challenge. Again, no prize, no monetary value, just for bragging rights and maybe a little something, but nothing serious or nothing financial. So if you want info on that, and if you're not part of our live chats group, you can just message us on Facebook or Twitter or on our emails at info@PlaceToBeNation.com or JustinR@PlaceToBeNation.com, and we'll take care of you there. So, why don't we dive right into things, Scott, and we'll start with you. And what we'll do is we're going to start in the South, and we're going to hit the kind of obvious games out of the way. So I'm going to just go quickly around the horn. We have Albany and Mount St. Mary's playing in the play-in game. The winner gets Florida. Scott, I assume you have Florida on your bracket there?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. Doesn't matter at all.
And Matt and Chris and Andrew, any dissenters there?
No.
Okay, we'll talk more about Florida in round two. And we don't go by the whole horseshit NCAA. This is round one. So, Colorado, Pittsburgh, the 8-9. Very interesting matchup. We're going to start with Chris on this one. Chris, just tell us about maybe one little thing you're looking for in this game and who you like.
Well, Pittsburgh is a big-time defensive team. Lamar Patterson and Talib Zana are two big-time players. Colorado's without Spencer Dinwiddie, and I think that's a huge thing for them to overtake. So I like Pittsburgh in this game, a very low scoring game.
All right. Interesting choice there. Mr. Reich.
Well, Pittsburgh didn't prove anything really leading into the ACC tournament, and they didn't really have any good wins, even though their advanced stats were okay. But Talib Zana just woke up in the ACC tournament, got double doubles, like all off the chain, all of a sudden beat North Carolina. And I think they're probably playing at their best right now. They also gave Virginia a close game too. Colorado, ever since Dinwiddie went down, like Chris said, they've not been the same. It's a good team, but they could have been better. Their offense is a little better than Pittsburgh's, but I think Pittsburgh will grind them out a little bit easier.
All right, Matt.
I'm sticking with Pittsburgh too. I think Dinwiddie being out with Colorado is a huge loss for them. They've somehow made it through the rest of the season without him, but I'm going with Pittsburgh.
This is an interesting one to me only because, yeah, the injury to Colorado there really hurts. Because Pittsburgh was, as Andrew mentioned, not a team that was overly impressive throughout the season. But you got to feel like they're playing with a lot of confidence now, and the injury to Colorado is going to hurt. Scott, do you make this a clean sweep for Pitt?
I do. Dinwiddie's injury is bad. And Pitt, they did lose some ugly games, but they were close in a lot of these games in conference. So they didn't get blown out a lot.
Yeah, but they also conference. They didn't really have to run the gauntlet in the ACC, did they?
No.
Only play the big teams once apiece. Yeah. They didn't even get
them
twice.
Yeah, and they didn't finish. But, you know, they are peaking at the right time. They did lose to Virginia. A low-scoring game. They got Virginia to play their pace and still lost.
Not a very athletic team either.
No, but I think they'll be able to shut down Colorado and eke out a win. So I'm going to take the Panthers too.
It's not a classic Pitt team that's got wing players and a big time point guard. It's one of Jamie Dixon's probably less talented teams, but they defend, and that's really what you need to do in an 8-9 game is defend.
All right, and we're going to move Pittsburgh along there to face Florida. Up next, we have VCU out of the A-10 taking on Stephen F. Austin. One that's getting a lot of kind of pub is a possible upset here in the usual 5-12 spot. We're going to start with Mr. Reich. Mr. Reich, do we get an upset here?
Stephen F. Austin, if they had won the Southland last year, given that they were the number one defense in the country, would have been a pretty dangerous seed. This year, they went on a really long winning streak. I think they're 31-2. They went undefeated in Southland. But they out of conference, they didn't really play anybody of substance that I can remember off the top of my head. And VCU is just one of those teams where if they try to speed up little teams like that, then they're able to kind of take advantage of them. So, I think VCU will win this game.
All right. How about you, Matt?
As Reese said, Stephen F. Austin went on a 28-game winning streak to end the season, but again, they didn't really play anyone. But I'm just going to go with the upset here. So I think VCU is on a little downswing, so I want to go with Stephen F. Austin.
All right, interesting. How about you, Scott?
I like Shaka Smart. I saw a lot of VCU this year. They were on our network. They're a good, solid team, fundamentally sound. Stephen F. Austin, 31 wins is very impressive, but when you didn't play anybody in the top 25, I think they're going to run into a team that's going to slow them down. Stephen F. Austin's very athletic, but I think VCU survives here.
Chris?
I actually like Stephen F. Austin in this game. They've won 28 straight games, and a team that does not turn the ball over, okay, against a team that tries to force turnovers and lives off turnovers, and their transition offense is what propels VCU. I think Stephen F. Austin holds down their turnovers and pulls the upset.
So that means we have a tie that I need to break, and when I look at this bracket here, I tend to agree with you. I like VCU. I thought they were probably arguably the best team in the A-10. You're always prime for 1-5-12. You got to pick, and I agree with a lot of the points that Chris and Rotella said there. So I'm going to go with Stephen F. Austin for the upset over VCU. But I'm not feeling great about it, but it's one that I feel decent enough to roll with. So in the PTB expert bracket, Stephen F. Austin advances. Mr. Rotella, we start with you for the 4-13 matchup between UCLA and Tulsa.
Hopefully, in this round, Tulsa will see more fan base than they did in the Conference USA tournament. But I'm going to go with UCLA. I think they're really playing well with Steve Alford. Kyle Anderson is probably one of the toughest players to guard. So I'm going to go with UCLA.
All right, Scott.
I like the Bruins here too. And I think they're just a little more athletic. They're playing high right now. They beat a good Arizona team. I love Danny Manning, and I think he'll be there a while. And I think Tulsa will grow and become a real powerhouse in the Conference USA. But I think his talent's a little short here. I like the Bruins.
Chris?
You've got two most outstanding players of back-to-back NCAA tournaments with Alford and Manning. You got to like UCLA playing in the Pac-12, which was a better conference. I agree with Scott. I think Tulsa's on the way back. I like UCLA here.
Okay. Reesh, clean sweep.
You know, a 13 beats a 4 at times. I don't see it here. Tulsa was lucky to even win CUSA because they beat Louisiana Tech when Louisiana Tech played like dog shit in the last 7 minutes after they had taken care of Southern Miss, the other really good team in Conference USA. So Tulsa, I don't want to say they lucked in because they played their way into the championship in the Conference USA tournament, but they're not good enough to beat UCLA. UCLA just won the Pac-12 tournament.
All right, UCLA advances to face off with Stephen F. Austin.
Just one quick note. Did anybody see any of the Conference USA tournament? There were like 100 people in the building.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. We aired it. CBS Sports aired the semifinals.
Was it in El Paso?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were people sitting right behind the bench with their legs over the seats. I mean, you could have walked up and paid $5 and probably gotten a bowl of soup to get into that place.
Full disclosure, yeah. I was a little upset Tulsa lost because Louisiana Tech's head coach is Michael White, who is a legendary player at my old high school. So I was kind of rooting for him to get it, and they just stunk in the last 7 minutes and lost. So I don't think Tulsa even deserves to be in the tournament.
All right, while we're talking on this top four here, let's go to the second round with Florida, the one seed, will take on Pittsburgh, the 9. We talked about what Pittsburgh brings to the table. So we're going to start with you, Scott, to talk about Florida.
They are an incredible offensive team. They shoot. They play defense. They're very athletic. They brain fart a little bit in the paint, and I think that's how Kentucky kind of got back in the game on Sunday. But I don't see them losing here. Pittsburgh, like my brother said, Pittsburgh doesn't have that point guard that can contain defensively the shooters on Florida. And they don't have the bigs. There's no Dwan Blair walking through the door or Krauser or any of those guys. It'll be a close game early, but I think Florida goes on a late run first half and controls the second half. I like the Gators.
All right, Chris, how about you?
You got to like Florida. I mean, Patrick Young, okay, is, you know, he's an NBA stud now. He looks like he's 30. he's been around. And I actually disagree with Scott. I think their front line is actually formidable with Prather and Finney Smith. You know, Wilbekin's a great point guard. They have everything that you need, okay, to be a championship team. They've got a solid point guard, and they've got scoring. throughout their lineup. So I think Florida wins. Pittsburgh would probably stay close early, but they just don't have enough on the offensive end to stay with Florida.
All right. How about you, Rish?
Pittsburgh, like I already said, not a terribly athletic team. Florida, even though they don't have a lot of stars, very, very athletic team. They got guys like Chris Walker, who was a big-time high school recruit. He barely plays because they don't really need him, even though he gives a little bit of athleticism off the bench. And defensively, they are such an efficient team, and they know exactly how to turn it around into quick threes and quick offense. Florida's going to just rout Pittsburgh.
Matt?
I'm going to agree with everyone else here. Florida is going to beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has never been an overly athletic team ever since Jamie Dixon and Ben Holland have been there. They've always been that grind-out team, but Florida has just too much talent for them. They're going to win that game.
All right, Chris, kick us off here in the next matchup, which is UCLA versus Stephen F. Austin. And for those of you that did not take the upset here, you can quickly mention if you would have had VCU or UCLA. But, Chris, why don't you start us up on this one?
UCLA will win this game. They just have better talent. Stephen F. Austin, like I said, they have a perfect matchup with VCU. They don't turn the ball over, and VCU lives off turnovers. This game is a totally different game. There's better athletes on the floor for UCLA, so I think they win.
Rish?
You know, I actually had VCU in my bracket, but the truth is, and Chris makes a good point, is that the way Stephen F. Austin plays actually is a tougher matchup for UCLA than VCU, because VCU played a really good defense in the second round last year. A really good offense last year in the second round in Michigan, and Michigan just completely destroyed them.
And
UCLA would have done the same thing to VCU, because he can't turn over a team that's really good on offense and runs a quick pace. Stephen F. Austin can try to control the game, but UCLA is just too talented with Jordan Adams and Kyle Anderson and Zach LaVine. There's just no way they'd be able to get past them.
How about you, Matt?
I'm going with UCLA on this one. I don't think Stephen F. Austin's winning streak is going to go past this.
Scott?
Ditto. I like the Bruins.
This is one, too, for you bracket people, though, that maybe you roll the dice if you have a points one where you try and build upsets, or you're just looking to pick up a win. Yeah.
The San Diego region here is not the sexiest.
Right, but the reason you pick them is because in the next matchup, I'm guessing we're all going to roll Florida over UCLA. So if you're not confident in UCLA or VCU to get past Florida, maybe this is one where you roll the dice a little bit with an upset like Stephen F. Austin. In our bracket, we'll have UCLA. So that is looking at the Sweet 16 matchup, Florida-UCLA, the 1 versus the 4. And Andrew, who do you like here?
Wait, say it one more time. I'm sorry.
Florida-UCLA, 1-4.
Oh, we're going that way. Okay. Yeah. Kyle Anderson versus Scotty Wilbekin is interesting because Wilbekin's a great defender, but Kyle Anderson is so long. He's kind of like Michael Carter Williams. He's a guy that who uses his wingspan as an advantage. He can work. They call him slow-mo because he's a very, very patient point guard, which is another way of saying that he's slow as shit. So if the UCLA half court gets in a bit of a grind and Kyle Anderson and Jordan Adams can't get open looks, it's going to be tough, because the truth about UCLA is that their inside game is not very good. It's not solid. So if Florida starts taking advantage of them in the paint with all of their power forwards, Florida will start taking advantage of them and probably get a lot of free throws and win.
All right, Scott, who do you like in this one?
I like I echo Risha's sentiments. I like Florida in this game. Their front court is very formidable, and they can kick out and take jumpers too. And I think they'll bottle up defensively. I like the Gators.
All right, Matt?
I'm also going the Gators. I like UCLA. I love Kyle Anderson's playing ability. As I said, I think he's one of the toughest guys to defend, but I'm going with Florida.
Clean sweep, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Florida has got one really big-time shooter, Michael Frazier. UCLA's got two players with Anderson and Adams, but I think Florida just defends better than UCLA, and they'll win that game. Although that game probably will be close. I don't see Florida running away with it. I think UCLA hangs around, but again, it's just talent level when it comes down to the end of the day.
They played each other in the second round in 2011, and the game was very, very close. But these are completely different teams.
All right, so that completes the top half of the South bracket. So we have Florida in the Elite Eight. Let's move on down. The 6th seed, Ohio State, taking on the 11th seed, Dayton. A lot of people were surprised to see Dayton getting clean and not have to head to their home court for a play-in game. Matt, do you agree with Dayton getting in here cleanly, or do you think this was the correct choice for them for a seed? And who do you like in this game?
Well, I think they deserve to be in. 11 sounds about right to me, but I like this matchup a lot. Dayton has been trying to play Ohio State in non-conference schedule for years, and Ohio State has just kept dogging them every year. So I expect Dayton to give Ohio State a heck of a matchup. But I like Aaron Kraft. I just think Ohio State just has too much talent for Dayton. So I'm going to go with Ohio State here.
All right. Chris, who do you like here, and do you agree that Dayton should have gotten in without the play-in?
No, I actually think Dayton belonged to Dayton, to be honest with you. And I'm thinking the only reason why they probably got the pass is they won a tournament game and actually took St. Joe's to a final, you know, to a final possession where they actually had a chance to tie. If I think that performance, which is starting to get me to believe that the committee loves how are you playing at the end more though than they like, more so than in some cases than you know, what your overall resume is, which flies right in the face of teams like Louisville, who have been killing people and they're a four seed. I think Dayton belonged in Dayton, honestly. But back to the game, Ohio State just has too much, and I think they'll prove that the committee made a mistake by not at least making Dayton earn their way in, and I think Ohio State wins that game easily. Aaron Kraft's just too good. Best
Scott,
player on the court.
I like Ohio State here. You know, they underachieved in the Big Ten this year, and I don't know how far they'll get. I think Dayton will go in with a lot of emotion, but Kraft is a hell of a player. I think he's going to make some big shots. Buckeyes move on.
And Mr. Reich.
We'll talk about one of the first four matchups later, but if you look at one of those first four matchups and how loaded it kind of is, I think that gives an indicator that they really didn't want Dayton to play on their home court, so they kind of nudged him into the 11th spot into here and then gave him the Battle of Ohio to play Ohio State. The player to watch here is Jordan Siebert, because he was recruited along with Jared Sullinger, Deshaun Thomas, and Aaron Kraft, but he transferred and wound up at Dayton, so he's going to have major revenge on his mind playing against his former team. Their offense is actually very good. It's one of the more solid offenses. Ohio State's got a bad offense, but their defense is much better than Dayton's, and defense really wins in these close matchups, so I'll take Ohio State.
All right, so we'll move Ohio State on there. Chris, take us through the 3-14 Syracuse and Western Michigan.
I mean, as much as Syracuse has been playing poorly, there's just too much talent on that team, and Hall of Fame coach like Jim Boeheim always seems to get things figured out. He's got too much talent with Jeremy Grant and C.J. Fair, and I just can't see them stumbling over Western Michigan. They may have issues later on in the tournament, but I mean, it's not like they're going to lose. This isn't Vermont, okay? Mm-hmm. Taylor Coppenrath and T.J. Sorrentine aren't walking through the door for Western Michigan. So I like
Name drop.
Scott, Syracuse?
Yeah, I agree. I also agree with my brother that I think that at the moment, I think they're just lucky that they're playing a team that's just not as good as them. They have one good guard. I can't think of his name. It slipped my mind. I think he's number one. He's a good scorer. He's averaging almost 25 a game, I think.
David Brown.
David Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say David Brown, yeah.
David Brown is a good scorer. And he may make some shots and keep the game close early, but I think Syracuse is just going to will themselves to win this game. If they've got anything left in the tank, I'll take the orange.
All right, Matt.
I'm going with the orange here. I don't think they're going to go far. Everyone has said, they've kind of sunk down low towards the end of the season. So I'm going to go with Syracuse in this one.
Okay. And who's up, Reish?
Q's all the way.
Okay. All right. 7-10 matchup sees New Mexico take on the Stanford Cardinal. And we will start with Mr. Otella on this one.
And probably what was going to save Johnny Dawkins' job in Stanford, he got into the NCAA tournament finally. But I'm going to go New Mexico. I think they need to redeem themselves. They don't really do that well in the NCAA tournament historically, at least the last few years. But I'm going to go New Mexico.
Okay, Scott, how about you?
I'm going to take the Lobos as well. They did lose last year in the first round, but the expectations were a lot higher last year.
Mm-hmm. They were snuck three, in. Right, last year?
Yeah, they were three. Yeah. This year, they went in, they upset San Diego State in the Mountain West Final. I like them here to beat Stanford.
Okay. How about you, Chris?
I agree. You know, Chason Randall's a big-time player for Stanford, and Dwight Powell has been injury-prone this year. But Mexico has more talent across their lineup. And I don't know if you guys know, but Coach Craig Neal from New Mexico and Dawkins were both ACC players back. They played against each other when they were in college. So there'll be a little bit between the two of them. Not, you know, bad, just, you know, chance for them to say hi to each other probably. But I think New Mexico's a better team.
Reish?
you know, these 7-10 matchups are tough sometimes, and this one I kind of had to toil over a little bit. Stanford is they never really broke out all year long, but they are a good team. It's by far Johnny Dawkins' best team as the head coach there. Josh Eustace is a good rebounder. I love Dwight Powell. He's sort of a do-it-all forward. The key is who gets their offense going. Will it be Chasen Randall as a scorer at the guard spot, or will it be Kendall Williams as a distributor, which is what he's been best at this year? New Mexico, I thought, was actually underseeded. I saw them more as a 4 seed. I didn't really see their win over San Diego State as an upset. I thought they were basically even. I'll take New Mexico to win.
All right, well, keep New Mexico fresh in your head, Reish, because we're going to advance Kansas over Eastern Kentucky in the 2-15. And that means the bottom of this bracket, the 2-7, Kansas versus New Mexico. So, Andrew, talk about Kansas and who you like in this game.
Kansas was a team that had a lot of hype going in because of the arrival of Andrew Wiggins. He did not get going very well to start the season. The guy who really broke out was Joel Embiid, a center who gives a little bit of a reminder of people to Hakeem Olajuwon. You know, he's got that unique last name, great shot blocker, strong shoulders. He just has a lot of upside. He was shooting up the charts in the NBA draft. Now Joel Embiid is out. He's going to be out with some back spasms or back injury, whatever the case may be. So he will not play these first two games. So if Kansas obviously beats Eastern Kentucky, they will play the winner of this one, and Embiid will not be there. They played New Mexico with Embiid and beat them in a game where Kansas kind of convincingly won at New Mexico at the Pit. And even without Embiid, I think guys like Perry Ellis and Wayne Selden will step up, and Kansas will still win.
All right, how about you, Scott?
This is going to be I never do this because I'm never this early because no one's a bigger Bill Self fan than me. But I think I'm going to take New Mexico in the upset here. Wow. I think Embiid not playing I think New Mexico's playing in a bit of a high. I think they're going to try and focus on Wiggins and make him, you know, shut him down and make the rest of the team kind of carry, and I think not having Embiid is going to make their front a little soft. I think New Mexico is going to play with a little bit of juice, and I like the Lobos. I think this is a sneaky upset here. I'm taking the Lobos.
How about you, Mr. Rotella?
I'm going with Kansas in this one. I just think they have too much talent, and Bill Self is just a great coach, and he's going to adjust without Embiid there. So I'm going to go with Kansas in this one.
And Chris?
I'm with my brother. Like New Mexico here. I think the absence of Embiid really reduces Kansas's offensive potential. And I like, Bairstow to have a big game for New Mexico. I think they have more distributed scoring than Kansas does without Embiid. I think if Embiid plays, they win. And I think if Kansas can get by this game and he comes back, then they're going to be very dangerous. But this is the game I think that they could lose, and I'm actually picking New Mexico to win.
Well, as a tie break, I'm all for upsets, and I feel like there's some brother synergy going on where they kind of both felt this kinetic energy in this game, so I'm going to go with them. I'll take New Mexico for the upset. We're going to throw a little wrench into this bracket.
You can quote me on this, but Matt Rotello makes a good point. And New Mexico just always gets the shits in the NCAA tournament.
That is true. That's a valid point.
Mountain West in general does terrible.
I think they only get the shits when the expectations are high, and they're not high here. So I think they may fly under the radar.
No one's picking New Mexico to beat Kansas, so that's why there will be no pressure on Craig Neal and no pressure on New Mexico, so they can go out and play loose. I think actually all the pressure will be on Kansas because all they're going to be talking about is the fact that Embiid's not playing. And I think Self, knowing that if he gets by this game and gets another week for his big center to rest, will let a breath out. But I think he would know that this game would be very tough to win, and I think there'd be a lot of pressure on Kansas.
And like I said, New Mexico to me was underseeded. If you look at their rebounds, assists, blocks, and free throws made per game, I mean, they're top-notch.
I thought they were a five, certainly a five. I thought they were underseeded. I think there are a lot of underseedings this year.
And to do some more name-dropping, Bill Self has, for all the Mario Chalmers he has in his head, he also has a little Ali Farouk Manesh in his head as well.
All right. Let's stick with Chris here for Syracuse up against Ohio State. Aaron Kraft, is Syracuse's falter down the stretch a little bit of a mirage? Are they going to get it together, or do you think they fall here to Ohio State, Chris?
Well, neither team could score the ball very well. They don't shoot the ball very well. Both teams have very poor shooting percentages. And Ohio State defends better than Syracuse. As much as we love to talk about Syracuse's 2-3 zone, this is not a classic Syracuse 2-3 zone. They don't have size on the perimeter. You know, Cooney and Ennis are short guards, so you could pass over the top. In the mm-hmm. past, they've had big guards like Michael Carter-Williams, who's at 6'6", with his length, okay, has high hands to get the ball over. Their guards now are short up front, and I think that you could get the ball over the top. But at the end of the day, I like Jim Boeheim. I always like Jim Boeheim. He's an old school guy, probably a little Big East bias here, but I don't think this is the game Syracuse goes out in. I think they win here.
How about you, Matt?
I think Syracuse is going out here. I don't think Jerry McNamara is going to come out of retirement and start shooting out the lights out of them. So I'm going to Ohio State. Aaron Kraft is just going to run through them.
Okay, I think he had a good point buried in that garbled mess that he just spewed out. Reesh, do you agree?
Well, he's talking about Jerry McNamara is not going to be in the building. Well, he actually is because he's the assistant coach.
He's just going to be wearing a suit.
But no, Chris makes a great point. Even though Trevor Cooney and Tyler Ennis's assists, steals numbers are very good, they're not very long like Trish and Carter Williams where they could really extend that zone and wreak havoc with deflections. It's really going to come down to Tyler Ennis versus Aaron Kraft. You have a freshman who early on in the season did such a great job with assist to turnover ratio against a guard who is really bad on offense, can't even get a shot up in the air, but he's an incredible defender without fouling, and he's a senior. So that's going to be the real key. I mean, before we get into the thick of that zone and into baseline defense from Ohio State, it's all about how Aaron Kraft can pressure Tyler Ennis and who can rattle the other's offense the most. I think Syracuse has got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder on Ohio State because Ohio State cost them 2 years ago in the Elite Eight. I think Syracuse is going to win.
All right, Scott.
I like the Buckeyes here. I don't pick against Big East very often either. But I agree with my brother that I think this 2-3 zone is not – I don't think Boeheim is overly comfortable with it. There isn't a lot of size. They don't have a guy like Sutherland who could shoot and defend. Aaron Kraft's the kind of guy who can get hot in the second half in a 2 or 3 minute stretch. I think Syracuse is going to struggle to score. I just think they're tanks on E. I mean, they put so much energy into January and February coming off to that unbelievable start and mowing through the ACC that I think they ran out of gas, and I think it's going to happen here. I like the Buckeyes.
Well, unlike past Syracuse teams, C.J. Fair, who needed to be their go-to guy this year, just didn't have it at the end of the season. And they don't have anybody else to go to as far as scoring the basketball. And that's why they struggle to put the ball in the basket.
Also, Jeremy Grant started to really struggle late in the year with his scoring touch, and that really hurt them. And they don't really have a go-to guy inside or to flash in the post to really give them points in the paint. They're not a great points in the paint type of a team like most Syracuse teams are.
All right, as a tiebreaker, I'm going to go with Syracuse here. I think there's definitely a high potential for this. I don't think it would even be an upset if Ohio State beat them. I think Syracuse may pull the okey-doke, the team that everyone's kind of counting out because of the way they limp to the finish, but enough talent there and enough coaching acumen to maybe pull it out and at least get to the Sweet 16. I just have a hard time seeing them not getting
to the Sweet
16.
My problem with Ohio State is without Kraft, they're a much better offensive team, but they need Kraft because he is the leader of the team. So it's sort of a situation where it's like yin or yang. So you'd go without your leader and you're better on offense, but your defense suffers. So, you know, I just think it's a quandary for Ohio State, and I don't think they're going to be able to get out of it. They never really have with Kraft as the point guard.
All right, well, that brings us to a very interesting position here is number 3 seed Syracuse battles New Mexico to go to the Elite Eight, and we're going to start with Chris. Who do you like in this one?
This is where Syracuse goes down. I think New Mexico, with their plethora, okay, of scoring options, finally takes Syracuse's zone, which is, again, as we mentioned, not one of their best zones of past teams. So I'm picking New Mexico here, and this is where Syracuse's run ends.
How about you, Matt?
I am still not on the New Mexico bandwagon. I don't think they're going to get by the second round, me personally, but seeing that we have them going here, I still think Syracuse is going to win out. Jim Boeheim is too veteran of a coach. Craig Neal, this is his first year coaching as a head coach. So I think the veteran Jim Boeheim is going to will his team to win.
All right, Reesh?
The one thing New Mexico doesn't have that Syracuse definitely has a leg up on him in is speed. I don't think the the Lobos are a very, very fast team, even though they play a quicker tempo than most. And I think if they get into a half-court set where they have to kind of grind out some possessions and Kendall Williams has to find Alex Kirk and Cameron Bairstow, they might have a little bit of trouble trying to feed him into that zone, depending on how they guard him. And that's a very, very close matchup because New Mexico has advantages over Syracuse on the offensive end, but I'll still go with Syracuse there. I think Syracuse – I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Syracuse's best work is still ahead of them.
Scott?
Well, since I picked Ohio State instead of Syracuse, I'm going to take Syracuse here because I had Ohio State going on against and beating New Mexico, and I think Syracuse will as well. If they do play the 2-3 zone well, I think New Mexico will struggle, keep the game – in the 50s, low 60s, and I think the Orange win.
All right, let's send our first team to the Final Four. We have the 1-seed Florida versus the 3-seed Syracuse, and we're going to start with Mr. Reich.
Ooh, two really good defenses. I mean, Syracuse's defense this year is not the best ever, but they are able to rattle the cages a little bit when they can get going and they can settle in a half court. And Florida likes to run in a half court. Their tempo was one of the worst or the lowest in the country. So Florida's comfortable with that, too. Scotty Wilbekin, Tyler Ennis, I got to give the advantage there to Wilbekin. He's got more experience. He's a much better on-the-ball defender. Trevor Cooney's going to have a lot of trouble trying to get those shots over Dorian Finney-Smith and guys like that. Florida's just a little too tall, a little too strong, and a little too experienced. So I'll go with Florida.
Chris?
You got to like Florida. I mean, as Andrew just said, Trevor Cooney, after that game where he put 30 on
Notre Dame,
he couldn't find the ocean after that, which kind of shocked me. I thought he was going to be a big-time scorer for them. But he was shooting his three-point shooting was under even – it was in the low mid to low 30s, I believe. I just don't think Syracuse has enough scoring options here. So, and Florida is just uber talented. They've got size. They've got speed. They've got a big-time point guard. They have everything that you could possibly want. I think they go. And I think actually in this particular case, they win easily.
Matt?
I'm going with Florida here. I just think they have too much talent. I just think it's their year to get to the Final Four again.
It's got Florida.
Yeah, I think Florida's size is too much for Syracuse. Their guards are just too small. They're not going to be able to defend them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Florida coming out of the South into the Final Four. And since we had a little bit of dissension, but not completely, did anyone have anyone other than Florida advancing to this point?
No, go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say, this bracket I thought was set up very well for Florida. I think it was the weakest of the regions, actually, which is what the number one overall seed should get. I think the whole thing comes down to how healthy is Joel Embiid going to be, and when is he going to be able to play? Because if Kansas can get through the first two rounds and he comes back and he's healthy, Kansas can win this region. And I'll leave it at that. But that's the big unknown in this region is Kansas playing with or without Embiid and how effective he can be. Because if he is, they can beat Florida. If he's not, then Florida walks.
Yeah. At first, I saw chalk, and I thought it was going to be Florida and Kansas. And unless you have one of those younger teams that's a real super team like Kentucky was 2 years ago, if you don't have a lot of experience and you play a team like, say, a Florida who has all that experience and all that wear and tear from being to the Elite Eight so many times and falling short. I mean, being young and not being ready for the moment really, really hurts you. So I thought Florida was going to win the region anyway, even if Kansas played them.
All right, let's head out west. And I think we're all safe to assume Arizona will defeat Weber State. So we'll go ahead and move them along to round number two. And now we have an interesting 8-9. And we're going to start with Mr. Rotella because it was him last year that predicted the Gonzaga would hit the shock wall, and indeed they did. Mr. Otella, can they bust through that shock wall against Oklahoma State in the 8-9 game?
Heck no. I don't like Gonzaga this year at all. And personally, I blame it all on Gerard Coleman.
But, a lot of anger towards Gonzaga, Otella. I like it.
I don't think they're that good this year. I honestly don't. But once we get to BYU, I have more hatred for them right now. Oklahoma State battled through Marcus Smart's suspension. I think they're going to win here. I think they're actually going to do it quite easily. I don't think Gonzaga is going to give them too much of a fight.
All right, how about you, Scott?
I'm a Travis Ford fan. I like him. Marcus Smart's a little he's got a couple screws loose, but the guy's got immense talent. I agree with Rotella that the West Coast Conference is just weak. And I think that 28 wins, they only played one team against top 25. I don't think they score enough anyway. I like the Cowboys.
All right. How about you, Chris?
No, absolutely. I agree. You know, Kevin Pangos is a good point guard for Gonzaga, but he's not a big scorer for them, at least scoring enough. And with Marcus Smart back and healthy and past his issues, I mean, a 9 seed for Oklahoma State, I mean, talk about underseeding. I mean, they should have been I mean, I know you're looking at the body of work and you see a 7-game losing streak and, you know, a losing conference record. But they're good. They're really good, and they could score. So I like Oklahoma State. In fact, I like them big time in this game.
Rish, clean sweep?
I'll be the voice of dissent, and I'll actually say that Gonzaga will win.
Didn't they burn you enough last year?
What's that?
Didn't they burn you enough last year?
Well, I don't know how far. I can't remember how far I had him.
You had him winning at all.
No, I had him losing in the Sweet 16.
He had him going to the Elite Eight, I think. Or...
Yeah, either the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. So they disappointed me, but they usually get to the second round and lose anyway from a historical perspective. And Oklahoma State, they get to the free throw line really well. They have a lot of athleticism with Nash and Marcus Smart and Markel Brown, but man, I just don't know when Marcus Smart. He's so mercurial. You don't know how well he's going to play. He could come out and just lay a shit and just be terrible. You don't know what you're going to get out of him. So I'll go safe and I'll go with Gonzaga because they're more proven in the tournament. And they do have a little bit of size inside with Karnowski and Dower.
All right. Well, not enough votes. So Oklahoma State will move on over Gonzaga in our expert bracket. The 5 seed, Oklahoma, against the feisty number 12, North Dakota State. And Chris, we start with you for this one.
North Dakota State has a terrific player in Taylor Braun, and he is capable of leading North Dakota State to an upset here. But I like Buddy Hield and Cameron Clark, who can score the ball, and Spangler is a great rebounder. So I'm going to take Oklahoma here. But this game is going to be closer, and for those of you out there who might be thinking of betting on this game, take the points.
Scott?
I like Oklahoma in this game. I think Braun will score his points. I think it'll be close first half, but I think Oklahoma will maintain. They'll win by 8 or 9. I like the Sooners.
Andrew?
Oklahoma, in this case, they're a good team. They have a lot of – they have a eclectic cast of characters, and they all shoot because they run one of the fastest tempos in the country, not just big conferences, the whole country. So they're a really exciting team, but I watched them play Louisiana Tech at home, another team that runs a fast pace, and Louisiana Tech beat them in overtime in a track meet. If they let North Dakota State, which is a very capable offensive team with Taylor Braun and the other guy whose name I just can't remember, but he's a top scorer too in the summit. I just think North Dakota State's going to get them, and I think this is the 12 over the 5, which happens every single year.
You have to wonder if Eduardo Nahra will show up in this game. Matt Rotella, who do you like?
I'm going to go with Oklahoma in this one. Unfortunately, I really don't know too much about North Dakota State, but I'm going to go with Oklahoma in this one.
All right. Sounds like great reasoning. Okay, so now we look at the 4-13. I'm going to stick with you, Mr. Rotella. Put you back on the spot. San Diego State, the 4 seed against New Mexico State, the 13 seed. Who do we like here?
I'm always amazed by San Diego State, regardless of who they lose. They just keep playing hard and keep getting better. New Mexico State actually is probably one of the bigger teams you're going to find, if not the biggest team in the NCAA tournament. They have 2 7-footers, brothers, 1 7-5, the other 7-3, and they're both houses. But I'm going to go with San Diego State on this one.
All right. How about you, Scott?
I don't think there's a better tournament coach based on how much talent he has than Steve Fisher. He knows how to win games with pretty much nothing. He won't have to try as hard here, but I like the Aztecs.
Andrew?
Well, first of all, just to clarify on the last one, the North Dakota State player, he's a big man named Marshall Bjorklund, and he's a good one. I keep an eye out on him against Oklahoma.
Find Norsemen in the Midwest.
Oklahoma's not very big. Marshall Bjorklund. I'll take San Diego State easy here. New Mexico State's terrible.
And Chris?
I like San Diego State. They are in the top 10 in defensive efficiency, according to Ken Pomeroy, and they can really guard. And in this type of a tournament, any team that can guard like they can guard is always going to have an advantage. They're long. They're athletic. New Mexico State's got size, as Matt has mentioned. But I like San Diego State. Steve Fisher is an excellent tournament coach.
All right.
I will say for New Mexico State, keep an eye on their big man, Sim Bular. He is a human snuffleupagus. He's literally – he is 7'5".
He's like 7'5", like 290 or something like that? Or
yeah. You'll see him in that.
His brother's just as big. His brother,
the Great Khali. My God.
You'll see him in OVW in no time.
Talk about name dropping.
There you go.
What, do you have a cup of coffee?
All right. Well, let's stay here with San Diego State, Chris, as they battle Oklahoma, the 4 versus the 5. Who do you like to advance to the Sweet 16?
I like Oklahoma State.
We're talking Oklahoma versus San Diego State.
I thought you were Oklahoma State. I like Oklahoma.
All right, Scott.
Believe it or not, I actually like Oklahoma too. I think they've got a little more size. This might be the game where Steve Fisher might run out of tricks. I like the Sooners.
You loved it. Your praise was like the greatest tournament coach in history, and then he runs out of tricks in the next round. That's not a lot of praise for the guy.
It's like last year. When I talked about St. Louis. Yeah, I love them. They're great, but they're going to lose.
Yeah. No, like Steve Fisher is a tournament-tested coach. He's the greatest coach in the tournament, round of 32. I think he runs out of tricks over here at this point. He gets by the 13.
Don't worry. Wait till we get to
trip
pieces.
Somebody. Yeah. No, I think Oklahoma playing a tougher schedule.
Yep.
Big 12 best conference in the country this year, and I think Jeff Fisher is a great coach. Jeff Fisher is too. Steve Fisher is a great coach. But I think right.
Take a breather for a minute.
Justin, can you mute him just to move on?
I mean, his point is a good one. It's just
Sam
funny.
He's the point guard for Oklahoma here. So.
Reesh, who do you like here?
They played last year with Jamal Franklin playing for San Diego State, and Oklahoma did the impossible. They actually let San Diego State shoot the ball well, which is I didn't even think it was possible. Oklahoma this year is an even worse defense than they were last year. San Diego State is way bigger than Oklahoma in terms of size, so I think San Diego State's just going to squeeze them.
All right, Matt, who do you like?
Well, I think Steve Fisher will have plenty of tricks to get by Oklahoma in this one. So I'm going to go with San Diego State.
All right. I'm going to take San Diego State as a tiebreaker as well. We leave the brothers Criscolo behind to look through the bag of tricks.
And they said Chris talks more than Scott?
I don't know. Who said that?
Scott's co-host on the
That's only when he's got a few Bud Lights in him. Send him in the Big East tournament during the DePaul noon games, and then it'll be quite entertaining.
All right, well, let's go right to that man, Mr. Chris. Oklahoma State, who you seem to be all over, can they have enough firepower to take out Arizona?
I think they do. This is the first number one seed to go down.
Wow.
I just think Marcus Smart is he might be one of the top five best players in this tournament. He was been a lottery pick last year if he came out. I know he may have character issues and all of this stuff, but at the end of the day, when it comes to basketball talent, He might be one of the most unguardable players in the game. I don't think Arizona can guard him. And here's where I think the first number one goes down. I think Oklahoma State beats Arizona.
Very interesting. Matt, you agree, disagree?
I disagree. I think Arizona is just going to not run over them. It's going to be a very tough matchup. I agree with Chris that Marcus Smart is definitely going to play tough here, but I think Arizona is just going to win out.
Reesh?
I'm going the opposite way, Chris. I think Arizona's terrific. I actually think if you look at the BPI, the KenPom, the Sagarin, all these other uber geekery ratings, Arizona's number one by a pretty significant margin, and they've proven it on the court. They played a tough out of conference. Oklahoma State athletically can match up with Arizona, but Nick Johnson is just as good as Marcus Smart when things get nitty gritty. And I just think Arizona is much, much better than them. I think Arizona is going to win.
We heard Reesh name drop all the polls, Scott. What does your Rasmussen poll say? Who do you like here?
My buddy Nate Silver thinks that. No.
I got 538 up, so.
I like Arizona here. I think they're just more athletic. I think Marcus Smart will play well. But I don't think that his supporting cast will do enough. Arizona can shoot, and they can collapse on defense and avoid any offensive rebounds. I'm gonna take the Cats here.
I picked Marcus Smart last year, and Justin Rosero tried to wring my neck because he jumped on it.
Oh, and then they lost, and I got mad at you. Is that what it was?
Yes. They lost.
I rely on you guys to get me through the brackets here. All right, Scott, let's stay with you to see who goes to the Elite Eight. To the Elite Eight, and that is Arizona, the one versus number four, San Diego State.
I take the Cats here. I like Arizona.
All right, Matt.
I'm going to go with Arizona in this one. So Reesh? I'm for that.
They played way back in December. It was a very tight game. Maybe it was November. It was a tight game, but Arizona won. Aaron Gordon is the X factor there, just like he was the last time. I'll go with Arizona to win.
All right, Chris, I'm going to ask you, who wins this matchup, and who would have won if he had Oklahoma State through here?
I'm just not that big on Arizona, so I'm going to take San Diego State. I think they get some revenge off the game that they lost early in the season, and if San Diego State was playing Oklahoma State, I would have taken Oklahoma State.
All right. So Arizona, the first team in the Elite Eight out of the West. We now move down to the 6-11. We have Baylor taking on Nebraska. We're going to start with Mr. Rotella. Who do you like here?
Though I do like Nebraska, I think there's the first time they've been in the NCAA tournament in a long time, but I'm just going to go with Baylor here. I like Isaiah Austin. I just think they're going to beat Nebraska.
Reesh?
I actually like Nebraska because Baylor is a rhythm offense. Scott Drew's the coach. He likes to get his players comfortable in shooting motion a lot of times and when they run their fast breaks. Nebraska, Tim Miles is an incredible coach. He coached at Colorado State before this. He loves to just throw defense all over every offense that is thrown at him. He's just a really, really good defensive coach. And they also have a really good scorer in Pettaway. I think Nebraska's going to really turn this into a rock fight. And I think Baylor's a little ill-equipped there. I think Nebraska's going to pull it off.
Scott?
I agree with everything Reesh said. I love Tim Miles, too. I think they are a rock fight team. And, you know, Baylor did survive with 24 wins in one of the best conferences, if not the best conference in the country. But I think they're going to get ground down a bit here. I like the Cornhuskers.
All right, Chris, how about you?
Baylor scores the ball as good as any team in the country. You know, they were, you know, one of the best. They had a tough stretch where they lost 7 out of 8 in conference play. That would have probably broke most teams. And then they finished the season winning 7 out of 8 and then 3 in the conference tournament before losing to Iowa State. I think they've righted the ship, and I like Baylor in this game.
All right, so we had a split here, right, 2-2. You know, I was impressed by Nebraska. The fans were crazy. They were insane for that big game that they won against Wisconsin a few weeks ago in a must-win game. If this were a home game, this was not in the tournament, I would say I think Nebraska's crowd can will them to the win. I think Baylor's just got more talent overall, so I'm going to move Baylor ahead here as the 6th seed. And now we stay here with Chris for the number 3 out of the Big East, Creighton, taking on number 14, who is a Louisiana Lafayette, I believe, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What do we like here, Chris?
You got to like Creighton. I mean, you know, my brother made a great quote the other night. He said McDermott just made a three-pointer from the hood of his car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could shoot from anywhere, and I don't think they're going to be able to. This is just a matter of one team having more talent than the other. I mean, Louisiana Lafayette has a couple of good players in Elfrid Payton and Sean Long, and they actually have a really good up-and-coming coach in Bob Marlin, but I like McDermott and Ethan Ragg. Too many threes, and the Blue Jays beat the Raging Cajuns.
All right, Mr. Matt, who do you like here?
I'm going to go with Creighton here, even though I think Providence, when they lost to Providence, a lot of teams are going to play the zone against them, but I don't think Louisiana has enough talent to beat Creighton.
I think that's going to be an interesting point there, Matt, and I love just hearing you say Creighton. But that is one of the
Creighton. Creighton. It's like Crayola crayon.
It's like when it's like when Justin says Randy Orton.
Right, Orton, and also Dayton. So I enjoy. I am curious if a lot of these teams as we move forward, the teams that do have the talent do employ that zone to try and take Creighton. Now, I mean, the difference is if Creighton's making the shots, the zone worked well. They kind of shook up the rhythm. But if they were hitting some of those shots they normally hit, it probably would have been a
different
story. Your coach
and your players have to be on the same page to pull it off, and it's right. Very, very hard.
I don't think the supporting cast are as talented as they are. Doug McDermott is a tremendous player. Once he starts going, everyone, all the defense goes to him.
Mm-hmm. They also have the best three-point shooter in the country in Ethan Rogge.
Yeah, he did so well against the Illinois.
All right, let's say that for later. All right, Scott or Rich, who's left here about Creighton? We all go to Creighton?
Yeah, I like Creighton here, too. Like I said, McDermott just shot a ball from my fire escape, and I think it just hit all net at the Garden. I think they're going to adjust. Louisiana is not going to play the kind of defense that Providence played Saturday night. This game could get ugly. I like the Blue Jays.
Rich?
14s rarely beat threes, but man, I saw Louisiana Lafayette a little bit this year, and Elfrid Payton is an unbelievable point guard. He's going to play in the NBA. He's tall, he's rangy, and he plays great defense. Creighton's going to win, but this one, when I saw the seeding at first, kind of scared me a little bit, but Creighton, I think, is going to win.
All right, while we're talking Creighton, let's just stay right here with them and Baylor, the 3 versus the 6, Rich. Any chance for Baylor to knock off the Blue Jays, or do you like Creighton to go to the Sweet 16?
Well, Baylor likes shootouts depending on how good the defense is for the team they're playing against. And Creighton's defense and rebounding, not the best. And Baylor's rebounding is okay. It's inconsistent because Isaiah Austin likes to play outside of the paint. He's more of a shooter. I just can't bet against Dougie McBuckets. He's too fucking good. I got to go with Creighton here.
All right, how about you, Scott?
I like Creighton here as well. They're just going to score a boatload of points. And I don't think Baylor can keep up.
Chris?
I'd love to pick Baylor in this game. I really would. I love Scott Drew. I think Baylor's got talent. And I wonder if Creighton can actually has enough offense. I mean, if you just guard McDermott and Rag, I mean, who else on that team can actually score? So I think Baylor may certainly could pull the upset, and I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, if that game comes to fruition, I'd love to see what the line is, because I'd probably take the points if Baylor's going to get enough. But I'll have to go with the low seed here, but I would not be surprised at all if Baylor won that game.
If there's one thing Baylor's got on Creighton big time, it's size in the paint with Corey Jefferson and Isaiah Austin. And
absolutely.
Rico
Austin
Gathers.
Is a beast.
Yeah.
Matt, you agree with Creighton?
Yeah. I know McDermott has not gotten past the run of 32. In all this 3 other years, so I think he's determined to at least get into the Sweet 16 here.
All right, let's move to the final grouping here in the West, and that is Oregon at the 7th seed taking on BYU. And Mr. Rotella sounded a little salty about BYU at the 10. Let's hear it.
They don't deserve to be in here. There's Wisconsin Green Bay, I think, got screwed over. The other one snub I thought should have been in the NCAA tournament. And here we have BYU in here again. I hope they get blown out of the water. I despise them now, the freaking Mormons. I'm picking Oregon here. Mike Moser is too big of a player to.
You gotta love the emotion from Mr. Rotella.
He's bringing it.
They don't belong to be there.
You agree with him. You know, you look at, and I think it's a little bit of the Providence homer coming out because, you know, the rumor is that Providence, if they didn't beat Creighton, would have been out. And you look at a team like BYU at a 10. And you're telling me they would have left Providence home, they left SMU home, while BYU comes in at a 10 seed. Seems a little bit off here. Rich, who do you like in this one, or do you think BYU belongs here? And not even in a play-in game.
You can quote me again, but Matt Rotella was right again. Mm-hmm. Because BYU does not deserve to be in the tournament. They played in the WCC and lost 5 fucking games. Against
that conference is a joke.
An average St. Mary's team this year, because they're in probation mode now and they're not as good as they used to be. Gonzaga's taken a step back. They lost to they went out of conference and played tough guys, so their SOS strength of schedule was good, but the only good team they beat was Texas. And just because you lost the good games doesn't mean that you're as good as them. And I just don't think they're good. And Kyle Collinsworth, their second best scorer, tore his knee. So all you got is Tyler Hawes. Now, can Tyler Hawes carry them against Oregon? I don't think so. Oregon's got a little bit more depth than that. And I like Dana Altman as a coach anyway. So this will be a shootout, though. These teams love to run. So Oregon will win.
The illegal Aussies weren't walking in that door for St. Mary's. Yep. Is that what you're saying, Rich?
I don't care if I'm next. Yes, I'm going next.
The Aussie pipeline is closed.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Rich said it best. Okay. They beat Texas. Okay. Isn't this the yearly Bash Rick Barnes show? Okay. So now all of a sudden Rick Barnes has a halfway decent season, gets himself off the hot seat, and all of a sudden beating Texas is a big-time win? Please, spare me. The West Coast Conference is a joke. BYU is a joke. They get pummeled in this game.
Scott, I think you're the only one left.
Scott and I talked about last night about how bad the West Coast Conference is.
Yeah, it's pretty hideous. Maybe not as hideous as Oregon's court, but fairly hideous. I'll take
Hank Gathers would be rolling over in his grave.
Yeah, I'll take the Ducks.
All right, the 215 will take Wisconsin over American, the Eagles. Oregon versus Wisconsin, the 2 versus the 7. Mr. Chris Criscolo, who do you like here?
This is not Bo Ryan's best defensive team. He's a defensive coach, but they're better than Oregon. I like this game could be tough. Oregon's got talent, but Wisconsin, you play in the Big Ten, and they have as good a season as they had. I like Wisconsin in this game.
All right, Reesh.
I don't want to go out on a limb and say this is Bo Ryan's best team as in Wisconsin, because he had some good ones with Devin Harris and Alondo Tucker. But this has got to be his best offensive team. Their three-point shooting is excellent. And, you know, usually if they played a really good offensive team that can rotate all of their scorers like Oregon does, I would say Wisconsin is probably in for an upset. But in this case, I think Wisconsin can trade baskets with them. And Sam Decker is a really, really nice player. He reminds me of Josh McRoberts in a little ways. So I think Wisconsin's going to win. I think it'll be a fun little game because Wisconsin's going to show people that they could score more than people think.
Matty Ice, who do you like?
Even though Wisconsin killed me last year because I had them going to the Final Four, I'm going to go with Wisconsin here. I agree with Reesh. This is Bo Ryan's best offensive team he's ever had. I'm going to go with them.
And Scott?
I like the Badgers here.
Okay. All right. So in our next matchup here, we have the number 2 seed Wisconsin against the number 3 seed Creighton to go to the Elite Eight. Mr. Rotella, who do you like?
I'm going Wisconsin. This is going to be an offensive blowout. I don't think there's going to be much defense in this. This is going to be one of your Keno Davis type games.
Is Greedy Peterson going to show up?
My God.
Is he working at the concession stands at the arena, Greedy Peterson? Scott, who do you like here?
Russ Permenter.
Yes. Russ Permenter. Jesus.
What are we talking about?
Scott, who do you like here?
Oh, God. I think this is going to be an incredible showcase game for Doug McDermott. I think this is his NBA draft number 1 overall pick game. I think he's going to drop 40, maybe 45.
Wow.
And stun. I mean, I know it's 2 versus 3, but I think Wisconsin's in for an ugly evening. I'm actually going to take the Blue Jays.
All right, how about you, Chris?
No, I mean, I love Wisconsin's guards. In fact, I actually think that you know, I mean, McDermott doesn't need to. I mean, Trayvon Jackson, Brewston, and Decker are big time players. I think they have much more talent than Creighton. In fact, I think Wisconsin wins that game comfortably.
And Mr. Reesh.
I'm with Scott. You know, big time players win big time games. You know, Chris, and as a UConn fan, can tell you that. So I'd have to go with Doug. I mean, sooner or later, a top player like that is going to fall. He's not going to be able to do enough for his team. But, you know, Wisconsin's a team I think matches up with Creighton a little bit closer than in previous years when Wisconsin had a lot of size and grit and toughness inside. I don't think they're as gritty and tough of a team because Frank Kaminsky is an outside shooter. So I think Doug will do okay. And remember, Doug is also the best post player in the country, too. He's got the niftiest moves.
I will break the tie with Creighton here. I'm going to stick with the Big East loyalty. And plus, I want to see McDermott move on. This is what I'll be rooting for. The stars are what make these tournaments, and not that Wisconsin doesn't have stars, but McDermott's the biggest star right
full,
here.
Full disclosure, Justin was at MSG watching Doug in the finals of the Big East tournament. Did he scare the hell out of you in those last few minutes?
Oh, I'll tell you, when they played in Providence, Reach, I remember you asked me what it was like watching him live, and I was like, he's good, but that it was just an off night for him, one of the few I guess he had this year. The other night was just amazing, and if he was a half a step in on that last three, I think they may have broken Providence's back because that would have put them up by one. It came up just a little bit short, but it was dead on. And, I mean, he was just shooting from almost half court at the end there and just draining them. So, it was really impressive.
You know how sometimes, Kemba Walker and, Danny Manning and guys like that you watch these players in the tournament and it feels like they've almost graduated college? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, they're at another level. I feel like McDermott's gotten to that point already.
All right, well, tell us, Reesh, does he have enough? Has he gotten to the level far enough to knock off Arizona and head to the Final Four?
No, Arizona's too good. I think Arizona will pound them in the glass, and they're way too athletic. Arizona goes to the Final Four.
All right. How about you, Chris? Creighton, Arizona, and then tell us who you would have had coming out of this region, because I think we're way off from what you saw going here.
Well, I'm not. I have so many brackets going. I'm not even sure who I actually really chose out of this.
What about your sheet of integrity?
What integrity? Actually, no. I pick Wisconsin to win this region, and I'm sticking with Wisconsin. I just don't think Creighton has enough athleticism, and I think if you put Creighton in the old Big East, I think they'd have been lucky to have a 500 record. Never mind, you know, having as good a season as they have. They don't like to be pushed around physically, and I think Providence proved that on Saturday night because they are an old school Big East team that likes to play physically. And I think that's how you beat Creighton. I don't think they like physicality. And if you could body up their guards and if you could knock McDermott around, I think I don't think he could take a punch. I think if you get his face and physically body him, I think he'd back down. I think he could shoot. I don't think there's any doubt about it. But I think he's going to in for a rude awakening in the NBA when he's looking at guys who weigh 50 pounds more than he is, who are bigger than he is, knocking him all over the place. I almost see McDermott being an Adam Morrison.
Wow.
With or without the puberty mustache.
You mean the 70s porn star mustache?
Yeah, that was like
well,
half
let me, let me say this. When Doug loses, he doesn't cry like a bitch. He gets up and he keeps playing.
Well, I'll give you that much, but I think he can be bodied, and I don't think he likes to be bodied. And I don't think Creighton likes to be bodied. And I think if you look at the games they lost, probably against teams that were physical. And so that's why I think Wisconsin will win this game. I think they're too big, too physical, and too athletic. I like Wisconsin.
All right, but you have Arizona going to the finals out of these two? Arizona, Creighton? Going to the Final Four? Chris?
I have to take Arizona then, because okay. Certainly not Creighton.
The all thing right. with Creighton, too, is that they are a really bad defensive team. Bad defensive teams
they don't
do
guard
not get
anybody.
To the Final Four.
Mm. They don't guard anybody.
All right, Matt or Scott, do either of you take Creighton over Arizona? If not, we'll move on.
No.
No.
No. All right. They got bullied. You guys bullied them. I agree with Chris 100%. McDermott, if you remember those two scrums, JR, in the last like 5 minutes of your game Saturday night when he was trying to like – he was like, don't touch me, don't touch me, don't touch me, and he kicked the ball out of bounds both times.
Well, Henton had the pick of the tournament when he just laid McDermott out at half court.
Yeah, he drilled him on that pick. Yeah, that was nice. And it was clean.
Yeah,
he didn't move.
A little bit of payback for Grant Gibbs, spine buster, and Kadeem Batts when he was up in midair. All right, so we are halfway through the bracket. We're going to hit a little bit of a break here. We have Arizona and Florida, the two number ones coming out of the West and the South, and we will move to the bottom of the bracket when we return. But first, a word from our friends and sponsors.
Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
What's that? Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry.
The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
All right, Nation, we're back going through our March Madness bracket predictions. First, I want to talk quickly about placetobenation.com. We have some March Madness stuff up there right now. Mr. Reish, who's here with us, wrote How to Perfect Your March Madness Bracket 101, and Mr. Reish also has in-depth analysis of all the brackets coming out this week. We'll have in two parts on Tuesday and Wednesday leading into the big game starting Thursday afternoon. Also, as he mentioned, I was in Madison Square Garden for the finals of the Big East Tournament, Providence versus Creighton. I took a lot of pictures and videos, and there's a little bit of a diary up there as well. So if anyone interested in that, you can visit PlayStation.com and check those out. WrestleMania Rewrite Part 2. We had a bunch of members of our staff rebook one match apiece from WrestleMania 11 through 20. They had already done 1 through 10. So if you like that kind of rebooking and stuff like that, check that out. It was a good piece. Jeremy Nichols, his House of Horror, looked at They Live from 1988, starring Roddy Piper. We had all your weekend recaps. We had SmackDown, Main Event, Superstars, and of course, Scott, your Raw last Monday as well. The High Spot with Glenn Butler and Steve Willey took a look at Ring of Honor, where they're headed, Colt Cabana, Zeb Coulter, and the obscure news of the week. Of course, that's our weekly wrestling news piece there by two great writers in Glenn and Steve. Roger Morissette previewed the big UFC 171 showdown between Johnny Hendricks and Tom Lawler. And if you check that out, you can go ahead and see if the Cowboy was right. Because heading into this show, guys, he was undefeated in his Cowboys calls. And it was Robbie Lawler. I'm sorry, not Tom Lawler. And Johnny Hendricks did win the vacated title there. So you can check out if Roger picked him and the rest of his predictions. Greg Phillips and Nick Duke with the hard-traveling fanboys counting down Marvel's villains. It's a really good installment this time around. And again, guys, you know, they know their comics and they relate it in a way where if you don't know what you're talking about, they'll teach you on the way through their pieces. Aaron George did a nice piece looking at the first time the WWF didn't listen, kind of looking at Daniel Bryan and how it took them so long to really get on board with his push and the fans, looking back at RVD in late 01. And Scott, it's kind of timely to what we've been talking about, our vintage vaults. So for anyone who's been listening to those episodes, you can kind of pile on with this piece here, looking at, you know, whether or not they botched RVD's run in the World Wrestling Federation. Scott Keith gave us a smart rant for WWE NXT last week's episode. And of course, we talked to Kevin Kelly Scott last Wednesday, wrapping up the second half of 2001. So visit PlayStationNation.com, all those pieces and many, many more. Facebook.com/PlayStationNation or at @PlaceNumber2BNation on Twitter. And info@PlayStationNation.com if you're interested in writing for the juggernaut that is PTBN. Also, if you're buying anything on Amazon, stop first at PlayStationNation.com. Click the Amazon link. Takes you right to Amazon. No other extra steps, no other extra percentages or money involved. That one click will help support us, help keep us free, help keep us going, and it costs you absolutely nothing because you're going to buy whatever the hell you're going to buy anyway. So if you can stop there first, one quick stop for us, help us out, and for all we do for you, we just ask one little thing in return, and that is to stop here, click through the Amazon link, and move along. So that is your PlayStation.com update, and we are going to go right back into the brackets. We're going to hit up the Midwest, kind of the region of death this year, and the number one seed was not done any favors as Wichita State. They faced a winner of the playing game between Cal Poly and Texas Southern, and I believe we're all comfortable moving Wichita State through there. So we're going to move to the 8-9, a very interesting one, and that is the Kentucky Wildcats and an 8 seed taking on Kansas State.
Jesus.
And we're going to start with Matt Rotella here. Who do you like?
I'm going to, even though I despise both these coaches, I can't stand Bruce Weber, and I certainly cannot stand John Calipari. I'm going to go with Kentucky. They started playing well towards the end of the season. The Harrison twins and Randall are going to be too much to handle for Kansas State.
I like it. You stumbled right into a rhyme there. Randall's going to be too much to handle. Mr. Reish, do you agree?
You know, I'm a little bit of a Kentucky fan myself, so I might be biased. But how in the blue hell are they an 8 seed in this
crazy
fucking region? That's just – I can't believe that. They were one basket away from beating Florida fair and square on a neutral court. Their talent is just – their talent's excellent. What scares me with this game is the same thing that happened with UConn when they had Andre Drummond and Jeremy Lamb, and Kentucky was the one seed. And everyone said, uh-oh, look out for this game. This could be the scare for Kentucky. Well, UConn lost to Iowa State because no one gave Iowa State a chance. I could see a reverse scenario somewhat with Kansas State where they say, okay, nobody believes in us. Unfortunately, Bruce Weber is a really terrible coach. So I think Kentucky is going to win the game anyway. Kansas State is one of the worst offenses in the country, and Kentucky is one of the more efficient ones, so Kentucky should win.
Chris? You with us, Chris?
Is he still there?
No, maybe he's on mute or something. Scott, let's go to you. Who do you like?
No, okay. I'm back. All back. Right. You hear me?
Jesus Christ, let's go. Who do you like, Kentucky? Kansas State.
No, I like Kentucky. I mean, Kansas State, you know, they're a good team. You know, but I'm not a big Bruce Weber fan either. I mean, Marcus Foster is a great freshman, and he'll have a good career there. But there's just too much talent for Kentucky. They should have been a 6 or 5 seed. I think too much there. Kentucky Scott? Wins.
Even though Kentucky has more talent. 1-6 against teams in the top 25. They lost some unbelievably ugly basketball games. They lost to Arkansas.
They lost South Carolina.
Yeah. And they suck. But to echo you guys, Bruce Weber, his career has been laid on one class, and that was the 04-05 Fighting Illini, who are well into the NBA. Well, most of them, a couple of them anyway. Talent-wise, Kentucky's just too much, even though I'm not a big fan of them. In this game, I am. I'll take the Wildcats.
All right, well, we're here now, and so we'll start with Scott. Kentucky, do they have enough to take out Wichita State?
No. I think it's going to be a very close game. This Kentucky team brain farts a lot at the worst time. Randall struggles. He doesn't dominate in the boards as much as he should sometimes. He doesn't shoot worth a shit the last month. I think Wichita State's going to be very efficient in the way they run both offensively and defensively, and I think Calipari is going to get shaken by that. I think he thinks he's going to try and rattle this Wichita State team, and it's not going to happen. I think it's going to be a close game, maybe overtime. I like the Shockers.
Who do you like here, Rish?
Oh, you got to feel bad for these Wichita State fans, huh? With this committee. The committee said, okay, you like to dream big? Okay, well, your dream's about to die. So we are going to put Murderer's Row ahead of you. So for Wichita State, the advantage is you don't have to really worry about those other teams because they're going to work itself out. You got to just worry about the team in your region. Kentucky's the most dangerous one. The problem I have with Wichita State against Kentucky is that they have not faced a team that is brute in the front court in terms of just size and shot blocking skill and rebounding skill as Kentucky with Randall and Willie Cauley-Stein, who's a tree.
I like to call him the Black Matzah.
The Black Matzah. You like him with the blonde hair? You saw him with the hair?
Cauley-Stein.
Oh God.
And the other one is Dakari Johnson. The interesting part is how do the Harrison twins play against Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker? Because those guys are much more experienced guards. They're much more savvy guards or much savvier guards than the Harrison twins who've been really disappointing as point guards because the dribble drive is so important to what Calipari does. Shock wall. Wichita State loses.
Woo! All right, Chris. I can't believe Chris no stole my Black Matzah joke. I thought he'd like that one. Who do you like here, Chris? Wichita State, Kentucky.
I mean, Kentucky certainly could give Wichita State a lot of trouble. But I think they've got guards that won't back down to Kentucky's talent, and they defend. So I think Wichita State wins, but that game will be very, very close.
Matt?
I'm going the shock wall here, too.
Shockwell!
I'm going Kentucky. I just think, as Reese said, I don't think Wichita State has played a tough team in a long time. So Kentucky just has too much talent. I'm going to go with Kentucky.
I'll clarify. I don't think Kentucky's tough. I just think they're more talented.
I don't want to see Wichita State lose this early. I want to see them make it. Only because I don't feel like hearing all the know-it-alls out in the media saying...
Justin, you don't love it when dreams die?
No, I don't. So I'm going to take Wichita State. I think they step on the shock wall. They shock their way through the shock wall and make it to the Sweet 16. So let's head down to the 5-12. But before we get to that, we have a very interesting matchup here for the playing game. And that is North Carolina State versus Xavier. We're going to start with Scott. Scott, who do you like in this game to move on to the first round?
I like Xavier. I think they're a little tougher. I think NC State struggled a lot this year. They not a very good shooting team. Xavier was consistent game in and game out. They didn't get blown out that often. I like Xavier.
Chris?
I like Xavier.
All right, Matt.
There you go. No, I figured I'd give you a classic Matt Rotella response.
I like it. You like Xavier because they're Mesquiteers. Scott, Matt, who do you like here?
Is it Netflix Rotella playing?
The Mesquiteers.
Too soon.
Since I can't stand NC State and I don't see David Thompson walking out of the locker room for them, I'm going with Samaj Kristen and Xavier.
All right, Mr. Reich.
Really nice one-man show kind of matchup. Samaj Kristen, the point guard for Xavier, versus the small forward for NC State, TJ Warren. Ready NBA player, if you ask me, TJ Warren. I'll go with NC State. I guess Warren is just a little bit better.
All right. Scott, you went, right? Or no?
Yes, I took Xavier.
Okay, so Xavier moves on. And do we like them at all to knock off St. Louis?
That's
we'll start with you, Reich. Go ahead.
That's an old-time A-10 matchup, right?
It is, sir. Well, yeah, I guess a couple years' worth of A-10.
Right? It's unbelievable to think that, you know, with all the conference things, that Xavier's not in the A-10 anymore. But, God. You know, St. Louis is they kind of remind me of Notre Dame. Notre Dame is one of those teams that they do really well in the regular season, and they notch up the wins, and they kind of get those nice, solid home wins. And then when you get to the tournament, there's no athleticism. There's no sense of urgency. And they just kind of get washed away by a better team. But I don't think Xavier's a better team than St. Louis, and they're definitely not as big as St. Louis. So I'll say the Billikens go through.
And St. Louis busted a bunch of brackets last year, if I remember, too. They were in a similar position. Who do you like here, Chris?
I really don't even know. St. Louis just laid such an egg at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. It's hard to try to like them. I mean, Jordan Jett and Dwayne Evans are players, and I almost wonder if NC State gets by, I'm not sure that TJ Warren himself couldn't beat St. Louis. If NC State actually won this game, I might take NC State to win. If Xavier wins, I guess I'll take St. Louis. But I mean, a guy like TJ Warren could probably beat St. Louis if on his own, if he plays that well.
All right, Matt, who do you like?
I actually like St. Louis. I think they're a very good defensive team. I'm just going to go with St. Louis here.
Scott?
I like the Billikens.
Okay. All right, Louisville at the 4, taking on Manhattan, number 13 seed. Scott, I believe you have a beef with Manhattan's coach. I want to air it now.
Steve Mastella was a douche. Okay. He's an unlikable creep.
He's a troll.
And hell hath no fury like a pissed off Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. The dogs will not be called off, and Manhattan loses by 50.
Chris, our AAC correspondent, let us know what you think of this Louisville seeding.
Hell hath no woman like a Pitino scorned. Okay. He was begging for a one seed. I knew he wasn't going to get it. But having watched Louisville play as much as they played, and yes, to be honest, their non-conference schedule was bad. They didn't have a lot of big-time wins. So their profile was not as strong as the other top two seeds. But you can't argue that they're not playing as good as anybody right now. And Scott mentioned, and they had a thing with Andy Katz was on with Masiello before. He is an unlikable goofball.
He's a prick.
I can't stand him. And I hope he leaves Montrezl Harrell out there. And I hope he gets a triple double on him, because they will not be able to guard him. I would be surprised if Pitino puts up 100, doesn't call the dogs off, and Masiello tries to not shake his hand, and Pitino takes him down and puts him in a figure four leg lock.
Yes.
All right, Matt or Reich, any dissension there? We all like Louisville, right?
You know what I'll say about Manhattan? They're actually one of the better teams in the country. Blocks and steals kind of coming back from the coach that they just fawned over. That coach is at Manhattan, but no, this is the student getting schooled by the teacher.
All right, well, Matt, I'll let you kick us off then. Louisville versus St. Louis in round two.
I'm going to go with Louisville on this one. As everyone has said, Louisville is just going to go balls to the wall pretty much and just going to destroy anyone in their path.
Okay.
Don't go Louisville.
Chris, do you agree with that? Balls to the
Absolutely.
Wall?
Absolutely. Again, dogs aren't called off. Rick Pitino is pissed. He's going to they're going to hammer it. Until they get into the regionals where the competition stiffens, they will run through everybody in these first two games.
Balls to the shock wall. Scott, you agree there?
Oh, yeah. St. Louis has no chance. Louisville wins.
And Reich?
You know, if you noticed in the VCU game that happened a couple weeks ago, the one thing St. Louis just can't handle is speed. And Louisville's got tons of speed. And they got one giant speedball named Russ Smith, who has been taking over games lately. So Louisville's probably going to win. I agree with Chris, too, to piggyback him. They were underseeded by a decent margin. I at least had him as a 2-seed.
All right, we'll stay with you, Reish, as we move to the Sweet 16. Louisville, can they knock off Wichita State, or does Wichita State get to the Elite Eight?
Yum, 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 a rematch of the Final Four. Wichita State's definitely bigger. They definitely got a lot more toughness and a lot more size inside to battle Louisville. Outside of Harrell, you know, Harrell's a good player, but Klee Anthony Early is probably a little bit more of an all-around talent. You got Fred VanVleet versus the new guard there, Chris Jones, I think his name is. It's really tough because they play differently, but their metrics are all kind of similar in terms of defense and offensive efficiency. I'll go with Louisville in a really close game.
Would Kentucky have knocked off Louisville for you?
Wait, what's that?
Would Kentucky have knocked off Louisville? Because you had Kentucky.
No, I think Louisville would have beaten Kentucky this time. Kentucky beat Louisville in Lexington, but I felt like Kentucky got a little bit lucky in that game, and Louisville wasn't all the way there yet. Now Louisville's all the way there.
All right, Scott, who do you like, Wichita or Louisville?
We talk about dreams being crushed. One will be crushed right now. The clock strikes midnight. Louisville wins.
No WWE title for the troll.
Chris.
Exactly. It's good for business.
Chris, who do you like there?
I'm sorry. What was that again?
Wichita State, Louisville.
Oh, Louisville. Louisville wins that game.
It's like Mike Francesa. Are you falling asleep over there?
He's on Fox Sports 1. He's going to fall asleep.
Rotella?
I'm just going to go Louisville.
Okay. All right, so we got Louisville into the Elite Eight. Let's finish the bottom of the Midwest. And the other playing game, the 11th seed, Iowa versus Tennessee. Who do we like advancing there? Just really quickly, Reish.
Oh, my God. How did these guys wind up in the first four? I know Iowa struggled late, but I just don't think they're a team that should have been at the 11. I thought they were more like a 9. And Tennessee, I thought, firmly played themselves in. For these guys to have to battle each other in Dayton, it just seems like something more of a TV event where they want some really good teams. Iowa, I'll go with, because I think that even though Tennessee's rebounding defense is excellent, I think Iowa's got more depth, and I think their offense is a lot better. So, you know, it goes against most games because defense usually wins, but I'll say Iowa wins.
Okay, how about you, Scott?
I like Iowa here. I like Fran McCaffrey. They had their issues this year, but they were very competitive in a good conference. I like the Hawkeyes.
Matt?
I'm going with Iowa.
Chris?
Iowa.
Okay. All right. We'll stay with you, Chris. Does Iowa have what it takes to knock off UMass at the 6th seed?
I think so. Chaz Williams for UMass they've got talent. But Iowa just plays at a better conference, and I think that just gets your team just in a better position come tournament time. I think UMass is actually was seeded too high. In fact, I can't believe that UMass is actually a higher seed than Connecticut. That kind of blew my mind, but that's another topic for another day. But I like Iowa.
Matt?
I actually like Iowa as well. I like the Marble. He's a great player. I like Chaz Williams a lot, but I just don't think they have the talent to beat Iowa.
Scott?
I concur. I think Williams is a great player, very quick. He's very athletic, can drive to the lane, get the foul, get to the free throw line. Iowa, I think, is just too big for him. I like the Hawkeyes.
Where are we at? Chris?
He said Iowa.
I think it's Reish.
All right, Reish, my bad.
If you look at the stats, they're actually very even. Their offenses are good. Their tempos are high. They rebound the ball well. They block shots well. They get to the free throw line. It's going to be a very close matchup, but I think Iowa's got more depth, and I think that'll help them get through.
All right. Iowa advances. Let's go to the 3-14. Do we all agree that Duke advances over Mercer?
Yeah, but Mercer does have, I think, the most experience of all the teams in the country. I think they have 7 seniors. And they also took out Dunk City, which made Scott very happy.
Thrilled.
All right. Does anyone here like Iowa over Duke?
You know, I thought about it.
I wish.
But, Parker, and Hood. I think Talon is a team that can beat, you know, Iowa's one of those teams where the sum is better than the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But when you have guys as good as Parker and Hood and the other one, I think his name is Quinn Cook, I just think that's going to be enough to get him by. I think Parker – yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, as long as Duke is playing games in Krzyzewski's driveway, I mean, come on. Does it matter who they play?
Well, it didn't help when they played Lehigh. So
what was that game, Scott? Greensboro? Charlotte? Remember that Raleigh. Last year?
Last year was Greensboro. This year it's Raleigh.
Okay, yeah, this year. Okay, so instead of playing in Krzyzewski's living room last year, they're playing in his driveway this year. Don't get me started on that. I'm done.
It's such a blatant rig job. It's not even funny.
But to clarify, Iowa's got one of the better offenses that was in the Big Ten. But I'll say Duke wins because they got the most talent and they got the better coach.
All right. Anyone disagree there? Everyone like Duke moving into the Sweet 16? Okay. 7-10, yeah. We got Texas versus Arizona State. Our good old friend Rick Barnes. Let's start with you, Mr. Otella.
In a battle of former PC coaches, actually, Arizona State's head coach, Herb Sendek, was an assistant coach when under Rick Pitino when they went to the Final Four. I'm going to go with Texas here. I don't think Arizona State has the talent to beat Texas, so I'm going to go Texas here.
All right, Scott.
I like Texas too.
Chris?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me? Rick Barnes all of a sudden saves his job, and all of a sudden he's winning tournament games? Forget it. Jahi Carson, they won't be able to guard him. Forget it. Arizona State wins.
Reesh?
Man, if you look at the stats, it seems like Texas all the way with their rebounding and having a decent offense and their block shots. But Arizona State's got Jahi Carson, and they've got who's the point guard, and then they've got Jordan Bashinsky, who's a real like he's just a big giant of a man. So that was another tough one, along with Stanford and New Mexico. It was the toughest one to pick, a 7-10. I'll go with Arizona State just to be different.
I'm going to take Arizona State, the tiebreaker. I learned from Ted Haley back in 2001. You never trust Texas. Every
when
year,
Rick Barnes wins
you.
A tournament game, okay, you know, then we'll talk. But he's I'm surprised. If he probably just coached to save his job, because he would have been if they didn't make the tournament, he was gone, and he should be gone. He's been living off one Final Four appearance.
All right.
You know. TJ Ford's and Brandon Mouton aren't walking through that door.
It's going to be the battle of midgety guards, Isaiah Taylor versus Jahi Carson. I don't think either of them top at 6 feet.
All right, well, let's move the 2-seed Michigan over Wofford. And now we look at Michigan versus Arizona State. Unless anyone has any qualms here, we'll move Michigan to the Sweet 16. Does anyone like Arizona State in this game? Okay.
Nope.
Michigan Duke, old school in the Sweet 16. Let's start with you, Scott. Who do you like here?
I like Michigan here. They beat Duke last year, I believe. No, that was Louisville. 2 years ago, Michigan lost to Duke, and I think they want some revenge here. I think John Beilein will outshoot a very soft Duke defense. I like the Wolverines.
Chris?
This game is going to be all about rebounding. There's plenty of talent on both sides. You know, Stauskas for Michigan, you got Cook. You know, Glenn Robinson, there's plenty of talent here. It's all going to be about who rebounds. And at the end of the day, if you put a gun to my head, I'd have to think that Duke would probably rebound a little bit better than Michigan. So I'd have to take Duke.
All right. We're split so far, Mr. Rotella.
No, I'm going to hate myself for picking them. I'm going to go with Duke here. I just think Jabari Parker, in his one time going through the NCAA tournament, is actually going to get to the Elite Eight here.
Reesh?
The thing about John Beilein's teams that have been different the last couple of years is that they have the athleticism now because they're getting those recruits in. And even though Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. are in the NBA now, they still got those really good players like Glenn Robinson III and Caris LeVert and Zach Irvin. Mitch McGarry's not playing, which I think will be the key, because if Mitch McGarry was able to rebound and swallow up in the paint on Duke's really bad interior defense, then I think they would have had a really good chance. They played earlier this year at Cameron, and they lost because Nick Stauskas he was banged up and had a really bad game. I think this one will be a little bit tight. I'll take Duke because I think Parker will be able to make a play or two.
All right, so that gives us Duke and Louisville to go to the Final Four. Let's start with you, Rotella. Who do you like?
I'm going to Louisville again. I'm just hoping they can beat the living crap out of Duke. I don't want to see them in the Final Four, so I'm going with Louisville.
Reesh?
Duke lost to Louisville in the Elite Eight. It was a matchup where everybody anticipated it, and it was close at half, and then Kevin Ware had that really unfortunate thing happen to him, and Louisville rallied behind it and just blew the hell out of Duke in the last like about 10 or 15 minutes. I think Duke's really stinging from that loss, and I think they want revenge. I think they're more equipped now to beat Louisville now that Peyton Steve and Gorgie Jang are gone, and I think they'll get through Louisville and win the region.
Okay, we're split right here. Scott, who do you like?
The bloodbath continues for Mr. Pitino. Louisville wins this game.
All right, Chris?
You got to like Louisville here. This is not a classic Duke team that has big-time guards. And if you don't have guards, you can't beat Louisville. Because their matchup zone and their pressure, if you don't have guards that can beat a press, and I don't think Quinn Cook, Rodney Hood, Suleiman, any of those guys are big-time ball handlers. Talent-wise, I think Duke probably has more talent top to bottom. But it's all about pressure defense. Pitino brings it, and I don't think the Duke guards are going to be strong enough to get through it. They're going to turn the ball over. Transition points for Louisville. Cardinals go to the Final Four.
And Justin, just a stat drop for Chris's point. Louisville averages 9.97 steals per game.
And Duke guards, this is not a team that takes care of the ball. And I think that's the key to the game. If you can beat Louisville's pressure, you can play with them. But if you can't, they will run you out of the building.
All right. I think I'm the tiebreaker here. So I'm going to go with Louisville to move on to the Final Four. Our first number four seed. So we got two ones and a four.
Big East lover.
All right. Let's move to the East. We're an unlikely number one heading into the season. Virginia will wipe out Coastal Carolina, we'll say. And we'll move to the 8-9 here. Memphis versus George Washington out of the 8-10. Mr. Reesh, Memphis or G-Dub?
George Washington surprised me because I never really thought they were going to be much going into the season. Doug McDermott had by far his worst game this year against George Washington on a neutral site game in Anaheim early in the year. They have a transfer in Maurice Creek. They have another one in Isaiah Armwood. It's a good team. I think the coach's name is Jim Lonergan.
Mike Lonergan.
I'm sorry. And I don't know really that much about him. I didn't watch much of the A-10 tournament, so they're sort of a mystery to me. But their offense is good. They seem to be a team that really hustles on you. Memphis is more talented, though. They're really inconsistent. Sometimes they just shit the bed. But
they can't guard a lamppost. They don't guard at all.
Their defense is bad, but they do have a lot of talent. The talent definitely is there. I don't think it's a mirage with Memphis. So I'll take Memphis, but I'm not confident.
Matt?
Unless Shaunta Rogers comes out of retirement for George Washington, I'm going with Memphis in this one.
I like all your analysis based on what guys played for these teams like 10 years ago.
Who's walking?
Guys who have no bearing on the actual outcome of the game, okay?
Scott, who do you like?
Keith Lee played for Memphis when they went to the Final Four in 1985.
And they were Memphis State back
through that door.
The only Big East team.
Andre Turner's not walking through that door.
That means they win.
I like Memphis.
Okay. Chris.
So, Matt, are we also picking teams based on the color of the uniforms or what their mascot looks like?
I don't remember who Matt picked. Matt, who'd you pick?
I picked Memphis.
All right, so we got three Memphises.
Okay.
Chris, who do you like?
I picked George Washington. I watched a lot of Memphis this year. They don't guard anybody. They've got good guards, and Shaq Goodwin is a good post player. They're good on offense, but they don't guard. And Josh Pastner has only won one tournament game. They've been wishy-washy all year. They've lost games that I think they should have won. In fact, I mean, I was really not expecting Connecticut to beat them on their home floor for the third time in a tournament, basically a road game with 20,000 screaming Memphis fans, and they laid an egg that night. How do you leave Niels Giffey open, a guy who shoots over 50% from three? They didn't guard him all night. They don't guard anybody. I like GW.
All right, well, as a unit here, we've picked Memphis, but either way, I think we all will move Virginia over to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about them more in a moment. So let's look at this interesting 5-12, and we'll start with Chris because it's another AAC team in Cincinnati taking on the frisky Harvard at the 12. Do we smell upset at all here, Chris, or do you like Cincinnati to advance?
No, this is a tough game. I mean, I UConn played Harvard and played Cincinnati three times. The Crimson have a good bench, and they have balance. Wesley Saunders, Laurent Rivard, and Chambers can play well. The Bearcats can't score. If you shut down Sean Kilpatrick, they can't put the ball in the ocean. And I would not be – I mean, Tommy Amaker is a great coach. I think he can come up with a good scheme. And if Harvard can score just a little bit, okay, but Cincinnati is unbelievable on defense. Those games are rock fights. I mean, the backboard needs to be repainted when you get done playing Cincinnati. It's just a matter of whether Harvard can score. And if you put a gun to my head, I'd have to think that Cincinnati wins. But I will probably take Harvard in the points in this game because they could win this game. But I'm going to take Cincinnati, probably a little conference bias here. But Cincinnati has trouble scoring, but they can defend. And in these games, you know, defense wins a lot.
All right, Scott, how about you?
I think I like Harvard here. I'm a big Tommy Amaker guy. Harvard plays the similar offense to Cincinnati without having to foul a lot. And Cincinnati lives on the free throw line because they, you know, just their pure size can get fouls. Tommy Amaker's not going to play that way. I think he's going to play a very efficient offensive game. And I think they're going to shoot well. And I agree with my brother that you lose Kilpatrick and they could barely break 40. I like the traditional 12-5 Ivy upset. I like Harvard.
The only thing that worries me here is the steam that Harvard's picking up as like this being the obvious upset that everyone picks.
The trendy pick.
And then Cincy just beats them by like 15. But, Reese, who do you like?
Cincinnati, their defense is excellent. Fourth in the country in points allowed. Sean Kilpatrick had an All-American year. He's a fantastic player as a guard. And Justin Jackson, he's another guy that I really like. Their defense is excellent, and they block shots. But, you know, the thing about Harvard is that they're an Ivy League team that plays good defense and all that. That's something you kind of normally have to deal with. But what you would not have to deal with normally with Ivy League teams is that they're athletic. Harvard is tall. They have a lot of good guard play. They steal the ball. And they get to the free throw line, which you don't really see out of these Ivy League because they're kind of pussyfoot type of teams that can't really draw fouls. So, you know, I think the game's going to be really close. I'll pick Harvard to win. I think Harvard, with the addition of Casey and Curry to their team after they got suspended, it gives them just enough depth to win.
All right, Rotella, can Kenyon Martin lead the Bearcats in this game against Harvard?
I would have gone James Flint, but no.
Paul Hogue is not walking through that door.
Yeah. Is Oscar Robertson?
I'm going to go with colors on this one. I'm going to go with the Crimson.
Okay. Michigan State over Delaware. I'm sure we're all moving them on. Anyone have anything to say about Delaware, though?
Hi, I'm in Delaware.
There you go.
They have two 19-point scorers, but I'm going with Michigan State.
All right. Do we all like Michigan State over Harvard?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right, then that brings us to the big matchup. Two teams we haven't talked about yet, so let's get to them now. We'll start with you, Chris. Virginia, Michigan State, 1-4.
This game is going to be a lot of fun, and I will definitely be watching this for sure. Michigan State you really don't know exactly, you know, what you're – I think the Michigan State team that you saw in the Big Ten tournament is the Michigan State team you're going to see here. They were top five team all season. They've got talent. They've got size. They've got experience. They've got seniors. And no Tom Izzo seniors have not made it to a Final Four. And at the end of the day, and I know this, everybody loves Michigan State. I mean, I think Virginia is a big-time team. They won the outright regular season and conference tournament championships in the ACC. But I like Michigan State here. I just think Tom Izzo and that there's just too much talent on that team with Adrian Payne and Gary Harris and Appling. I'll take the Spartans.
Virginia led by Al Groh, of course. Matt, who do we like here?
This is getting fun.
I love Virginia's play. I love Joe Harris and Brogdon. They're two great players. But as Chris was saying, Michigan State is coming in a fury. Appling and Gary Harris. I guess I'm going to go right through them. I'm going to go with Michigan State.
Scott?
Sean Respert will be fouled by Ralph Sampson at the end and hit two free throws while Magic's on the bench with four fouls. No, I like I like the Spartans here. Tony Bennett's a great coach. They're the ultimate team concept, but Michigan State's going to be tough. I like the Spartans.
All right, so we have Michigan State in the Elite Eight, and now we hit our final little pod here in the East. And Rotella, it's your time to shine as the number 6 North Carolina Tar Heels host to the number 11 Big East champions, Providence Friars. Matt Rotella.
I'm on mute so I could go use the bathroom. When
Matt Rotella, who do we like?
Well, wait, the Bachelor's on. I'll be right back.
I am going with Providence.
Yeah.
I love the matchup between Marcus Page and Bryce Cotton. I think that's a great point guard matchup. But can't discredit LaDonte Henton, Josh Fortune. I am going with Providence all the way. I think it's a very winnable game. North Carolina's underachieved all year. I am going with Providence.
I do think it is a winnable game. Do you agree, Scott Criscolo?
I absolutely agree. I love Providence in this matchup. I think you guys, I think Providence is going to meet grind. I think Henton has really found a lot of confidence shooting the ball. Mm-hmm. His size is already undoubted, and he rebounded in the tournament. But that very confident jump shot he took on the baseline when Creighton got that game down to 2 was clutch. Carolina is one of these herky jerky teams. You know, they got 11 McDonald's All Americans, but they play with some kind of intensity like every 3 weeks. I don't see it here, and I love Roy Williams, but these guys just have no gas in their engine. I like Providence.
Chris?
This is your classic case of the haves and the have-nots. You know, I'm not saying that Providence doesn't have talent. They don't have 10 McDonald's All Americans on their team. But as we know, having, 11 five-star players doesn't mean that you're going to win basketball games, because you go from being the big fish in a small pond to all of a sudden being medium-sized fish in a medium-sized pond, and everybody's all about themselves, and that's the way Carolina is. I'm picking Providence here. I can't wait to see the matchup between Bryce Cotton, who is not getting his due as far as being one of the top point guards in the country. He should be right up there with Shabazz Napier and Marcus Smart and all of the other point guards that are getting national recognition, and I don't think he's gotten his due. I think this is his breakout game, and I think he's going to play better than Marcus Page. Its game's going to be close. I think it's going to be one at the free throw line, and while Providence isn't a great free throw shooting team, I don't believe.
North Carolina is terrible.
Yeah,
at
the free throw. Yeah,
Providence is number one in the country.
Oh, they're number one in the country? Oh, yes. Well, because I knew Carolina was bad. I just didn't know how good Providence was. But that does it, because this game is going to be close. And if it comes down to the free throw line, which is what I think it is, Carolina, I know they can't put the ball in the ocean. So that's why I'm picking Providence. This is a big upset pick. I think I'm going with old school Big East here.
Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't they something like 22-0 after when they lead at the 10-minute mark left in the game?
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the free throw thing coming through there. Reesh? Clean sweep?
Ooh, Scott asked what's missing with North Carolina. I could tell you what it is. He's playing in the NBA D League. It's PJ Harrison. He got kicked off the team for doing 25 drunk driving incidents, but he was the best guard. He was one of the best guards in the country. If he played this year, he'd probably be an All-American, but he's off the team. Marcus Page had to take more responsibility. They run the same tempo like Roy Williams always does. They're always a good rebounding team because they play fast, but it's always, you can tell with the free throw percentage, with the fact that they don't take any three-pointers, with how inconsistent they've been all year long, all the way from the very beginning of the season, that something was always missing with North Carolina. Providence was a team that started out okay, then they really dwindled at the start of Big East play, and they kind of picked it back up. I thought they got a lot of confidence in that Big East tournament because they finally played a game where they actually outsmarted the other team, because they never really did that in any of the games leading up to it. They just kind of thought, okay, if we just kind of hang around and we make enough plays at the end, we'll win. That was the first time I actually saw Providence do something where they actually out-schemed the other team.
Well, I thought they did it to Creighton at home as well.
They did, but they didn't do it too many times against the other team, specifically Villanova. But their field goal percentage is one of the top ones in the nation. I picked North Carolina in my piece, but for podcast purposes, I will go for it. Lawrence Taylor is not walking through that door. Ronald Curry is not walking through that door. North Carolina loses to Providence.
Yeah. All right. Iowa State versus North Carolina Central. Any upset bid here, or do we all like Iowa State to move on?
No, but Cliff Ellis is the head coach of the NC Central, and everybody should know Cliff Ellis from his Auburn days and Clemson days.
Chris remembers Cliff Ellis.
Yes.
And the dumbfounded
Eldon Campbell.
And the Eldon Campbell looked like his dog got run over after that shot. Yep.
Yes, that's the shot.
That's the shot.
You know, on that Clemson team, just to revert, Eldon Campbell and Dale Davis.
Oh yeah, Dale Davis definitely, yeah, who had a heck of a career as an Indiana Pacer.
But Eldon Campbell after that shot looked like his dog.
Somebody ran his dog over.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great look.
And you know, who they beat to get to that game? The guy who Doug McDermott's trying to catch, Lionel Simmons from LaSalle, the L train.
Train.
L train. Yep. Yeah.
I'm a big Fred Hoiberg guy, or Iowa State wins.
Okay, everyone's asleep now.
All right, Iowa State Providence. Let's go with Arish.
Iowa State easy.
Chris?
I don't know about easy, but I think Iowa State just has, they have the talent.
Scott?
I think this is the last game. I think there's a little bit of magic dust in the Rosario-Rotella train. I like Providence here. It's not going to be pretty. And this is where your lack of depth on the bench is going to hurt you. But I think you'll have just enough to hang on and win this game.
Wow. I will say this. If they do win this game, it sets up very interesting matchups because there'll be NMSG and a lot of Big East magic hanging at the bottom.
Let's give a standing ovation finally to the NCAA tournament. They finally put a regional final in the Madison Square Garden.
With 3 MSG teams. You know, if 2 can get there, it'd be a lot of fun. Matt, who do you like here?
With all my heart, I want to say Providence, but I got to go with Iowa State here, unfortunately.
All right, not going to make me break the tie. All right.
I like Niang. I love DeAndre Kane. I just, unfortunately for Providence, and I love Providence, and I'm going to be rooting for them to win. I'm going to go with Iowa State here.
All right. Iowa State into the Sweet 16. And now we move on to Chris because it was 3 years ago in this very podcast we did 2 episodes. We did a Big East tournament preview and an NCAA tournament preview, and Chris picked them to win every single game. And they did that year, and that was the University of Connecticut, UConn Huskies versus St. Joseph's in the 10 slot here. Chris, why will your Huskies advance?
Well, until the American tournament, I was not thinking a lot about Connecticut. They were not playing well. They could not score the ball. And winning 2 games in that tournament against, beating Memphis on their home floor, beating Cincinnati again, and, you know, while losing to Louisville by 10 points may not look like much, when you got beat by 33, okay, a week prior, I think shows that they've improved enough where they've got options. And I don't know a lot about St. Joe's. Let me bring up my St. Joe's thing. They have a guard that
this. They were on the verge of not making the tournament until they won the A-10. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
Langston Galloway.
Langston Galloway, okay? And here's the guy who's going to guard him, okay, and he's not going to have a big game. His name is Lasan Chroma. He is a grad student who came from GW. He scored over 1,000 points with GW. He's big. He's 6'6". He's athletic. He's long. He will be the guy who will guard Galloway. And they don't have much, I don't think, outside of him offensively. And I think Connecticut has enough offensively with Daniels, Boatwright, Napier, and the new what'd you call him? The Panzer, or what's your nickname for Niels Giffey?
The Russian Rocket.
Well, he's too bad he's German.
German. Well, you type Russian Rocket for me. That must have been after a 12-pack of Bud Light. But anyway, no, I was like, I think I just yelled, I don't know what I called
him. He'd be the U-bomb.
Yeah.
The U-bomb.
So I'm feeling a little more confident about Connecticut right now, and I think they'll beat St. Joseph's. It won't be an easy game. It'll be a tight game. Probably a single digit game, and it'll probably be, 2-3 possessions with 2 minutes to go. But because Connecticut shoots great free throws, they're one of the top 10 or 20 teams in the country in free throw shooting. They were tops in the American Conference in free throw shooting, and their 2 guards, Boatwright and Napier, who are going to have the ball in their hands at the end of the game, are both over 75. In fact, they both might be over 80% free throw shooting, I think will be the reason why Connecticut will win that game.
All right, since Chris used up all the time, does anyone disagree and think St. Joseph's?
No.
Okay. No. No, I do like St. Joseph's big man, Khalil Knežević. He's a good one.
All right. Well, we'll also move Villanova over Milwaukee, and we look at a UConn-Villanova old school Big East matchup. Mm-mm. And we'll start with you, Mr. Rotella. Who you like here?
Oh, how many points is Kittle going to have?
I'm saying right now that DeAndre Daniels is going to go Omar Sanhan on Villanova. I don't like Villanova. I think they're overrated. I'm thinking it's going to get destroyed. I'm going UConn.
Mr. Scott.
I concur. Villanova looked atrocious against Seton Hall. They can't put the ball in the ocean sometimes. They look very unorganized in a half court set. I think Mr. Napier is going to be very calm. I think Ollie will be very calm. I think they'll play a good, refined, efficient game and make no mistakes and beat Villanova.
I think Chris has a little Ollie in his pants right now listening to you guys talk about this. Chris, you agree?
You know, this is going to be a tough game. I mean, the thing about Villanova is they didn't play anybody in their non-conference schedule. Look at their non-conference, other than Kansas, okay, which was a big win for them non-conference. Towson,
in the battle for Atlantis, yeah.
Yeah, Towson, Mount St. Mary's, Lafayette, Ryder.
Towson, that's Pat Scary. Watch your mouth.
Lost to Syracuse in the Carrier Dome.
You know, they played a couple of teams, but their non-conference schedule wasn't great. And, I mean, I think we'd all agree the Big East this year isn't the old Big East. It's not the gauntlet, you know, like it used to be. I mean, they've got Ryan Arcidiacono. They've got Javon Pinkston, who are, you know, back from the old school. This game would be tough. But if you put a gun to my head, I think Villanova would win the game. Here's where Kevin Ollie needs to build some experience coaching in a tournament game. Jay Wright's been around for a long time. He's been to a Final Four. He has that experience. And here's where I think Ollie would learn a lesson from a guy who's, you know, been around. I mean, it happens. I would pick Villanova to win that game.
Mr. Reich.
You know, I don't want to go as far as Matt said and say that Villanova's severely overrated. I think they were a little bit overrated because of the fact that they had kind of gathered up a good record in the Big East. Villanova's one of those teams where a certain guy plays his role. Daniel Ochefu is the center. Darren Hilliard is kind of the glue guy. Arcidiacono is the point guard. James Bell's the scorer. Everybody plays their part. The problem with that is, what do you do against a team when one guy, Shabazz Napier, can just take over the game and you can't stop him because he takes the ball from the backcourt and you can't get the ball out of his hands and he keeps making plays. I don't think Shabazz Napier is Superman, but I think he is capable of doing pretty amazing things if you don't defend him right. And also, Villanova is a really good three-point shooting team, but they give up threes along the way, as you could tell from the Creighton games. And UConn's three-point shooting is pretty good if you watched Napier and Boatwright and Niles Gafai. I'll say that UConn wins. It's going to be a great game because it's just going to be a natural rivalry game.
Shame on those of you that did not take Providence over Iowa State because you robbed us of Providence, UConn, and the Garden. Sons of bitches. So we'll go with Iowa State, UConn here. Scott, who do you like?
Well, I actually had Providence, UConn. Hmm. But I will take the University of Connecticut. Okay. I think they're going to keep playing. Something about your team, Big Brother, that's piquing my interest. Matt? I don't know if it's Napier. I don't know if it's the enthusiasm of a fresh, you know, legacy with Kevin Ollie, but they get a game in the Garden, they're going to win at least one.
Matt, who do you like?
I like Iowa State in this one, actually. I actually think they're going to pretty much run over UConn.
Okay, Reich.
that's two games that someone's going to get run over.
Yeah, a lot of deaths in this tournament. Reich, who do you like?
You know, I might be drinking the Kool-Aid, but I love Iowa State. I wrote a piece about Fred Hoiberg back in the new year. They run an NBA offense with college players, but they put them in spots where they're most comfortable. Melvin Ejim goes into the lane, and he just smashes on dunks and lay-ins. George Niang is an up-and-under type of guy. They have a bunch of three-point shooters. They are number one in the country in assists. Their defensive efficiency is very good. They are so good across the board. and they know, and they got the hilt magic, as they call it. They got that ability to win the, in the clutch this year that I hadn't seen out of them in previous years. So, yeah, I'm kind of riding the train a little bit, and that train might get derailed. Iowa State should win.
Chris?
Well, I mean, since I picked Villanova to get here, I mean, if Connecticut gets to the Garden, okay, then that place is going to be just loaded with Connecticut fans. And, you know, that's a place that it's been special for the school, for that, you know, for that, fran- you know, that, that team. And there'd be a lot there. And I think that they could certainly, I think, get themselves to a Elite Eight game. So if Connecticut could get to the Garden, I can see them playing for a shot for the Final Four. So I would take Connecticut to beat Iowa State.
I will retort and say that in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, that was an Iowa State crowd. That was all red. And they will travel well in the Garden if they get that far.
All right. Brothers Criscolo again with the synergy. But I will go with Reese. He's been on the Iowa State jock all year. I trust him. Don't burn me, Reese. I'm going with Iowa State here. But PC UConn in the Garden would be pretty
cool. Don't let me down, the mayor. Do not let me down.
Providence, I think my brother should rephrase it. I think it'll be not loaded with UConn fans, full of loaded UConn fans.
PC UConn and MSG in the Sweet 16 would be pretty fucking amazing. So we'll see if it happens.
There would be a sober person in the building.
Oh, that would be so good.
Not all right.
So we move on to the Elite Eight, Michigan State, Iowa State, Mr. Reich.
Man, I would love to see this matchup. Michigan State went to the Garden twice this year. They were injured a little bit when they played Georgetown, Scott's team, and they didn't play well at all with the depletions that they had, and they lost. But they played Oklahoma early in the year when they were still at full strength, and they played pretty well. They just look so much better with their full strength when they managed their minutes in the regular season, and they just came back with everybody, with Harris and Epling and Dawson and Payne, and they just dominated the Big Ten tournament against teams that really kind of had their way with them in the regular season, which tells me that Michigan State has turned a corner. I don't know, man. Iowa State's got good numbers across the board in terms of rebounding and assists. So does Michigan State. Three-point shooting the same for Michigan State and Iowa State. I just got to go with pure talent, and Michigan State's got more talent because of Gary Harris and Brandon Dawson and Adrian Payne. I just think they'll figure out a way to get through with Tom Izzo leading them through the Garden. I think they'll march out of New York City with that ticket.
Do you agree, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, when it come, you get Michigan State in the Elite Eight game, Tom Izzo, I think he's been to, what, six Final Fours? He always seems to put a game plan together no matter who he plays, no matter where he plays. And when he's got a team that's got as much experience that he has this year, and I mean, I like Fred Hoiberg, and I think Iowa State's good, but I just can't see Izzo, you know, losing. It's almost like his reputation precedes him. I'm going with Sparty.
Matt,
I'm actually going to go with Iowa State.
Wow, on the Iowa State bandwagon, on the jock.
I just like them. I don't know what it's about them.
A lot of people like Iowa State.
I just think they're going to go to the Final Four this year. That's just my opinion.
Scott?
Well, since I actually had UConn going to the Final Four, beating Michigan State in this game.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take Michigan State. I'm sick and tired of Tom Izzo and these empty Final Fours. And I like Tom Izzo, but I'm tired of these empty Final Fours. I think it's another one. But I think they'll beat Iowa State in this game.
Justin,
though,
I have to ask you, if UConn had played Providence, who would have won? Would win, because it might happen.
I don't know, because I honestly think it's a toss up just because of the location. The teams know each other so well. The history between the two. I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be a lot of fun, and I don't think I'd be able to pick either way, because I think it would just be one of those games you kind of throw everything out the door because of the history and the legacy between the two teams and everything else, and the way they always play each other. I mean, even when Providence was a doormat the last few years and UConn was hot, they still played each other well. There's rarely ever a blowout in those games. To me, you throw everything out, you put them on basically both in their home turf, and I think that place would be full with split 50-50, and I think it would be a great game. So no picking for me there.
It'd be a vibrant crowd, that's for sure.
Quite vibrant. So our Final Four, we have two number ones, two number fours, Florida, Arizona, Louisville, Michigan State. Matt Rotella, Florida or Michigan State? Who moves on to the championship game?
I don't see anyone being Florida right now. I'm thinking they're going to the final.
All right, Scott.
I concur. I like Florida here too. I don't think Michigan State can play a high scoring game with them.
Chris.
I like Florida. That will be a fantastic basketball game. But I think Florida. I think Florida wins.
Reesh.
It's going to depend on how much Florida is able to rein in Michigan State on the defensive end and slow them down. Because when Michigan State slows down this year, they're not as effective because Tom Izzo starts overthinking it and overcoaching.
He's not good in a half-court game. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. In tight games, Izzo's offense kind of goes into the shitter. If Billy Donovan can figure that out, and Billy Donovan himself has had trouble late in the tournament with game planning. I think Florida, it's experience versus experience. It's just a matter of who's got the advantage, and it's really close. But I'd pick Florida to win.
All right. So we'll move Florida on there. And then we look to the other side. We have Arizona, Louisville. Mr. Reese, who do you like?
Arizona and you said Louisville?
Yep.
Arizona's got them on the rebounding, for sure. Defensively, it's close, but they play different styles. Louisville, like Chris said, plays the matchup zone. They like to press. Arizona is one of those teams, they beat you with their athleticism, but they kind of bore you to death a little bit too. Sean Miller, I wrote a piece about him too. He's such a great coach. He's probably the best X's and O's coach in college basketball today, if you ask me. And he's this is definitely his best team. I wish Brandon Ashley hadn't gotten injured, because if he hadn't, I think they would have been by far the best team in the country. I'll go with Arizona because I think they have better forwards than Louisville does.
Chris?
This is going to be a great game because, as I mentioned before, you got to have good guards, okay, to beat Louisville's press, and Arizona's got guards. I mean, Nick Johnson is, you know, he's a, you know, Wooden Award candidate. He's a Naismith candidate. They've also got size on the inside. They've got big guys who can actually play with Montrezl Harrell and it'll be a close game, and Aaron Gordon will probably play well. He's going to have to score a lot because when he doesn't score a lot, I think Arizona struggles to win games because I don't think they have as much offensive balance as Louisville has. But I think at the end of the day, again, hath no one scoring like a Patino. So I like Louisville in a very close, very competitive game.
All right, Matt.
I like this game. I think it's going to be very, very entertaining to watch. But I'm on the Arizona bandwagon on the other side, so I'm going to go with Arizona.
And Scott?
I love this Louisville roster. I think Harrell will have a big game. Russ Smith has been a beast. He's playing better than he did last year when they won the national championship. I think he's going to have a huge game. I think Arizona's going to struggle, believe it or not, to keep up with him. And Louisville has the size, I think, to slow down Arizona in a half-court set, even though I do like Sean Miller as a coach. But he's not going to out-coach a pissed-off Rick Pitino. I like Louisville.
You see, the trick with Pitino is that people think that he tries to speed teams up. He doesn't. He traps them. And when he traps them, that's when he starts to segment the game into runs. And that's how Louisville gets on the roll like that. But it depends on how Arizona handles the trap and how well they can handle the press and get open looks and make shots, because they do struggle to make shots. Scott is right.
I will break the tie. I'm going to go to Arizona. So we have the finals. Arizona, Florida, two number one seeds. Arguably two of the best teams throughout the year, especially Arizona. And Mr. Reese, who would be like in the finals, Florida, Arizona?
If you look at the way that these teams are kind of made up, they're like mirror images. It's like looking into a mirror. They got the forwards inside that are really, really active. They're very, very – they're both very slow. They don't run a very fast pace. Their offense is efficient, but they don't score a lot of points. Their defense gives up some baskets at times, but they don't give up a lot of points as a whole. It's almost like – it's. I think this is a game that could easily turn into a rock fight, a game that could go into the 50s and the 60s. And I think this one will be one of the better games, even though it's not going to be as high scoring as Louisville versus Michigan was. And, man, I'll go with Arizona. Arizona right. wins it all. Scott. And my daughter said that Arizona should win.
Okay. Scott?
I didn't pick this one. I like Louisville to beat Arizona, but I think if this was the matchup, I like Florida. I think they're just too fast. I think they score in bunches. I think they score runs like Louisville does. And if this was the matchup, Billy Donovan will cut his third net.
Chris?
I would agree. I actually think it's going to be Louisville and Florida in the final, which would be, I think, one of the best championship games, you know, as good as last year's was. But if you're taking Louisville out, Florida wins.
Rotella?
I'm going to go with the former PC player here. I'm going with Billy Donovan. Okay. But I do agree with Rish. They are very mirror image teams to each other. It's going to be a great game.
All right. And Rish, I'll let you pick the final score.
Because did we pick the consensus at Florida, Florida, Arizona?
Yeah,
Florida. The way I think it or the way that the consensus would be?
Well, we have Florida beating Arizona. Look, I just got to put a score in so we can submit this fucking thing. So what do you want me to put? I'm just asking you what you want.
62-59.
Okay, thank you. All right, there you have it. The PTB Podcast Expert Bracket. We have Florida winning it all over Arizona. Of course, that is not the exact way all of us would individually have it, but that's the fun of this. So we all will submit our brackets into this challenge, the PTB Challenge. And guys, 4 years in the books. Bracket saved.
Woo-hoo!
We'll look forward to next year. For Chris Criscolo and Scott Criscolo, my PIC, for Matt Rotella and Andrew Reich, this wraps up episode 299. Scott, Wednesday night, we'll be back with the main event and the Kevin Kelly Show, both up later this week. Sunday, the Extra Point back in the house as well. That is led by you, Scott, and Dr. G, George Ribellino. And next Monday night, PTB episode 300 coming out to you, PlayStimulation. And next Wednesday, episode 301 will be Royal Rumble 2002 Vintage Vault. So, for the crew and Scott, I'm Justin. Take care. We'll talk to you next Monday at 300.
Sean Elliott is not walking through that door.
Yes, he's going to hit that corner three and kill the Blazers.
Bubba Smith.
Eric Murphy is not walking through that door either. No kind of fat, or when Dr. J shook the whole damn team with moves that came right out of a dream, or when Willis Reed stood so tall, playing deep with his eye, yes, basketball. You see on the bubblegum cards, me and homeboy would go one-on-one, cause playing the game is a lot of fun.